Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen! This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio! You better all listen!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
That's Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird. Boom.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black D, out.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Jerry Cat and fucking Eric Worms cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction. And motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Thursday, December 8th, 2011. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. With me, as always, is Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, Jay, you know, another day, you know. And let me just point that out there right off the bat. Great fucking show last week. You know, we tore it up last week, as always.
Right. Well, listen, we got a lot of stuff to go over tonight. Obviously, I attended the big doubleheader over the weekend. We will get into that later. But first and foremost, we do have a guest this week. Our guest this week is Alex Colon. I do believe he's waiting on hold right now, so... You know, without further ado, I'd like to welcome to the show rising star on the indies and the Blackout Zone, Alex Colon.
Yeah.
What's going on, Alex?
Nah, what's going on, y'all?
Chilling, man. So how you been?
I've been all right. At the arena right now where Tommy Dreamer is holding this huge seminar going on right now inside, and I'm outside shooting it with y'all, doing that thing.
Cool. Good shit, man. Figure, you know, we'll get you on, go over some stuff, maybe, you know, let some people know about you that don't, and,
what's up?
You know, start out, you know, give us some background on you.
Well,
you know, your passing.
For all y'all that don't know on Yakuza Kick, my name is Alex Colon. I've been wrestling on indies for a hot minute since 07. I trained at the CZW Academy under originally John Dahmer and DJ Hyde. Since then, I've had a lot of influences in my career. Guys from the indies like Joker and Black G, Drew Gulak, a lot of good real junior heavyweights where I want to say I got pieces of my style from. And you know what I mean? I'm like every other guy on indies. I'm pressing my grind. And for those of y'all that don't know me yet, be prepared because, you know what I mean? I'm on the move every day trying to get out there to new people, new fans, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Who would you say influenced your style?
I used to be like everybody else. I've been watching CCW since the very first Best of the Best. So, where I caught my style from guys like, you know what I mean, Trent Acid, Rick Blade, Ruckus, Black G's, Joker, you know what I mean? I just pulled a lot of guys. Guys like Homicide especially, like a real big influence, very knowledgeable, veteran in the business. And I just, you know what I mean? I just grab little tidbits of everybody and, you know what I mean, I try to pull it into my own. That's just a big thing with me.
Yeah, it's cool. Because you're not, you know, you're a smaller guy, but in the same token, you're not, you know, twisting 450 guy. You know, you got your own type of style there. And, yeah, it's different, you know?
I hear you, man. I just, like, it's hard at times because what you get a lot of when you're a young guy and you break in is a lot of guys, especially in the indies, where, you know what I mean, you want that crowd support. So a lot of guys try to go, you know what I mean, the two-road street. You either want to hit a guy hard, you want to fly, you know what I mean, you want to fly hard. And with me, I'm just trying to take a different direction by catching people's eyes, you know what I mean, and I'll do whatever it takes. That's just my motto. Legit, I'll do whatever it takes. If I got to learn how to do a 450 to get y'all up, I'll start practicing a 450. But so far, I think a lot of people have been lenient on me and let me get away with doing what I'm doing right now.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, one of the matches that definitely, you know, probably opened a lot of people's eyes is, you know, a match you had with a guy you're very, very familiar with, and that's Sammy. What did you think about that whole experience and, you know, getting in there with Sammy like that?
Yeah, it was a big learning experience because, I mean, a lot of people, I don't know if they know or not, but like, there's two major people in the business right now in the indies that, like, I see them as family, you know what I mean? And Sammy's one of them and Rick Swann's the other one. And, like, I don't get to wrestle them on occasion because it's usually me, you know what I mean, me coming along and then me ending up wrestling somebody else. And at the time, it was the very first time I ever wrestled Sammy, period. And it was just a learning experience. He's on another level, and he's moving on a constant. If you can't keep up, you're going to get drowned out by what he does, you know what I mean? And I tried my best.
Yeah. It came off really well, definitely. And,
thank you.
You've been working a lot over there, too, in Force One. You know, what's some of the, like, highs you've had over there?
Force One's actually been real good to me. You know what I mean? I'm close friends with a lot of guys there and the guys who run it, you know what I mean? And I'd like to say Force One kind of gave me a lot of breaks before every other company, like, you know what I mean, really got a first notice at me because it's at first, you know what I mean, you're just trying to figure out everything about yourself, trying to figure out where to go, and the guys from Force One really just took a liking to me and just said, hey, we're going to give this guy a chance, you know what I mean, and hopefully he could get people to notice him from here, and people from different companies started saying, hey, I've seen what you did at Force One, and you look like you have a lot of potential, and I just took it from there, and I've been getting a lot of places lately.
Yeah, it's definitely a, you know, good up-and-coming company that, you know, it showcases a lot of guys that probably a lot of different companies don't, so it's a good look.
Definitely. A lot of young talent, man. A lot of young talent, Force One.
Yeah, definitely. You got a chance to go over to Insanity Pro over in Indiana and, you know, work that whole thing. How'd you like that?
Yeah, I love Insanity. Like, my first time going over there, you know what I mean? To that region, working in Sanity, I instantly became good friends with the Chris brothers, guys like Dustin Reyes, Isaiah. You know what I mean? I already knew Drake and Scotty from around the way in the dog, so it was kind of like, you know what I mean? I met a new group, but they took me in instantly as family, and it's like, I kind of see IPW as like, you know what I mean, as CZW. It's another part of that. It's like, it's my family, so I take it, you know what I mean? I take it as serious, so anytime I'm out in IPW, or you know what I mean? I take it as serious, if not even more serious, as CZW, man. I go out there and do my thing.
That's good shit. Who were some of the guys back in the day you watched, like, even, you know, whether it be, you know, WWF or, you know, NWA, I mean, whatever you were watching back then that really influenced you to get into wrestling?
I watched a shitload of Bret Hart. I was huge Bret Hart mark, and, I would watch everything I could get my hands on. I would order pay-per-views back before digital and all that jazz, and I'd beg my parents, like, oh, I gotta see the 94 Rumble. Bret Hart's on it, him and Luger, I'm telling you, they're going to end up in the Rumble. I'm telling you, I got to see this, you know what I mean? Do a lot of begging or a lot of pleading, a lot of sneaking, doing the Puerto Rican thing, basically, and trying to con my way into watching my heroes like Bret Hart or the Steiner brothers used to tear it up like a motherfucker, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Guys like that really like influenced me getting into the business.
That's cool. What actually got you, wanting to join the CZW company as a whole? Because, I mean, you know, I've asked a couple guys about this in the past. CZW really got labeled, quite a bit, even though they had your Trent Acids and those guys. You had so much deathmatch stuff going on that, I mean, it's got to be a little intimidating to jump into that company, not knowing what's ahead of you.
I hear you. A big part was my very first live show. I'd been watching CCW for a hot minute back and forth, and my first live show was one of the Cage of Death, the duels one with the dual cages, and just that whole show from top to bottom, it really made me say, hey, man, maybe eventually I want to do this wrestling thing. But I ended up waiting a little bit, and at the time I was real good friends with Joe Gacy, Ryan Slater, a bunch of them guys, the guys I came up with, and they ended up getting a hold of Lobo through a family member, and it kind of started there. Lobo kind of helped guys like me get into CZW, and that's where we met Dan Dagan, and shit got sparked, man.
That's cool. Now you broke in with Joe Gacy and Ryan Slater, and another guy you broke in too was oh Jesus, what the fuck, I forgot his name, fucking Weepa.
LJ.
Yeah, LJ. What happened to that guy?
Well, LJ right now, he's got a lot of things going on in his life where he's married, he has a daughter he has to take care of, so like we all understand that his first priority in his life is his family, and his career, because he does have a career, a real big one. And, right now he's more focused with his family and his career, which I respect like hell, because I know him personally.
Oh, yeah.
We're like family, you know what I mean? That's where his mindset is right now. Like, with guys like me and Gacy and Slater, we're trying to get out there. Like, wrestling is where our life is. We don't have kids, you know what I mean? But right now, I don't have a career. So, I'm just out there on the grind, trying to make money doing this wrestling thing. And that's just where my mindset is compared to my boy LJ, who used to tag with me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all about his family right now.
No, I understand that fully. The dude always had a lot of charisma, and, he was, on the uprise with all you guys. So that's why I just always kind of wondered, because he's like the one guy that just stopped seeing on the card, and just,
I hear you. He was actually at this past Cage of Death. A lot of people probably didn't notice. He was in the crowd bullshit, and I ended up finding him after the show. It was pretty funny. It was like a reunion.
That's cool. What do you think was your best match to this point in your career? Or your favorite match?
Yeah, it's a toss-up. To me, my two matches with Sammy, it really, it showed me a lot, and it showed that, I have a lot to offer, that, I could just, if I could focus, I could step it up, and people notice me. Another match that I really love is me and Rich Swann from Proving Grounds. We kind of went in there when people doubted us at the time, and we tore the fuck up and showed people, hey, you can fucking hate on us, but we could go out there and do everything everybody else can. We just, we choose to be smart about it at times, so don't sleep on us. And look at Rich Swann. Right now he's in Japan basically full-time doing this thing at Dragon Gate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing his fucking thing. We don't get to see him over here much anymore, but somebody else smashed him up. I don't blame him.
I hear you, man.
Don't blame him. We'll talk a little bit about Cage of Death. You just came off the tables match. Big 3-on-3 intergender tables match. I thought it was a great match. In my opinion, I mean, the girls, I mean, you guys did your thing, but the girls really shined and shit.
Yeah.
But what was your feeling on the match?
Yeah, it was awesome. A lot of good, ring time and pointers towards homegirl Chrissy Rivera. You know what I mean? I had to be like, yo, just trust me. Trust me. If you get this, you know what I mean? You get this off and you grab Kimberly by the fucking hair, you do your thing. The crowd's going to eat it the fuck up, because, to be honest with you, a tables match is a tables match, but, every time a female's involved, or a female, you know what I mean? A female's willing to get in there and trade off with dudes and trade off with with other females, the crowd's going to eat that shit up. It's fucking, you know what I mean? It's right there for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I love the match, man. I love the match. Loved it.
Yeah, good shit, man. What are some of the dream matches that you got, you know? I mean, you've got a long future ahead of you, and...
Man. Like, my major, when I first started in the business, like, I would have loved to wrestle Homicide, you know what I mean? And in my eyes, I don't feel like it's the farthest thing that's from, you know what I mean, reality. Like, I'm sure it could happen. It's just going to take time. But, like, that's really one that'll always stick out in my mind. Like, that's just the one person that at one point I was like, man, you know what I mean? I could relate to where he was coming from in a real-world aspect to where, you know what I mean, the struggles of daily life and, you know what I mean, money, being poor, you know what I mean, living in a bad situation, you know what I mean, and just taking the anger out of the ring. So, it's like, he's definitely one dream match I'd hope I get before if I ever stop this wrestling thing, you know what I mean? That's just one person I really want to go at it with.
Yeah, well, you got to shoot for the stars, so you never know, man.
Yeah, definitely. I hear that.
Do you watch the TV product at all?
A little bit. I skim through.
I mean, what's your thoughts on that, or something that, you know, actually still interests you at this point? Because it's hard to follow at this, you know.
Yeah, I want to say one thing I really loved right before Miz and Truth started doing their thing, when they had, like, Truth coming out, you know what I mean, and doing the whole Confederacy shit and just the whole conspiracy thing was fucking, it was funny as shit, but, like, you know what I mean, when them guys tag up, I mean, they could still go, you know, but, like, I haven't really caught up too much since then. I don't get a chance to watch too much of that. I'm either at the gym trying to get in better shape, even though I still eat like shit, you know what I mean, or I'm trying to learn more or watching fucking tapes or some crazy bullshit.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just a little hard to follow, but yeah, that, I mean, the Truth shit was funny as hell, the Confederacy uniform and the whole nine. And yeah, they got a little bit of entertainment here and there. It's why DVR is a very, very good thing, man. I can't watch a whole show.
Yeah, the TV product right now, like, in my opinion, the TV product, when it comes to, like, guys who are smaller, like, this is kind of, like, the time period for, in my view, with the TV product, the, like, smaller guys, you know what I mean, to get in the heat. Because they used to be all about big guys. You notice a lot of small guys. So, like, this is the time for a lot of smaller guys like me, you know what I mean, just younger guys who feel like, oh, we have the talent, but we don't think we can make it, to really, like, push for that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Bryan last week tore it up in a cage match against Mark Henry. I never thought I'd see something like that. So, yeah, definitely. A little bit of window, you know, for guys to get in there now.
Yeah. Can't sleep on them, man. Can't sleep on them.
Definitely. You know, what are some of your goals in, you know, in the future? You know, what are you looking to achieve? Where are you looking to go?
Well, me and Ruckus actually have a tag title shot. As far as I'm thinking, like after that last match at Cage, like I'm hoping, you know what I mean, DJ High gives me and Ruckus to go for the tag titles, because I was pointing right at Az and Bandido, no problem. So I'm hoping I get that opportunity. Like, CZW Gold's, like, always been, like, a real thing, like, something that I really wanted, you know what I mean? I've just never really had too many opportunities. So I feel like now's kind of the time where I'm confident enough where, like, I'll go out there, I'll do what I got to do, you know what I mean? And I think I have what it takes to carry some strap in the company. So that, and, like, right now I really want to go overseas real bad. So I'm I'm really trying to, like, push myself, you know what I mean, and try to get some eyes open, like, all over. So maybe hopefully eventually you'll see Alex Colon over the fucking ocean.
Yeah, that'd be good shit. I mean, recently news just broke, and I mean, you're the first guest I had on since the news broke. What's your thoughts on this whole arena being sold and that type of thing?
Well, I don't know, but I hear a lot of stories, man, a lot of fucking stories. So I'm hoping that, you know what I mean, CCW stays in the arena, but, like, what happens is what happens. I mean, wrestling's going to keep going on, arena or no arena. So,
of course.
Like, I'm going to, I figured from, like, in my own mind, from now on, like, even if it closes or not, I'm just going to have to take, like, any show up till now, you know what I mean? Like, in a serious manner. Like, hey, I want to go out there and kill it because if this is the last time I have a chance to wrestle in the arena, you know what I mean? I want to make it as epic as fucking possible.
Yeah, absolutely. We would definitely completely miss the arena if the CZW or, you know, wrestling as a whole couldn't run in the arena. So it would be a shame, but hey, man. Is what it is. Wrestling's been all over.
I'm right
the place.
There with you, man. I've been in the exact same seats as many of the fucking fans back in the day. So, like, to see something like as epic as the fucking arena go away, that would suck.
Oh yeah. Tomorrow you got a show coming up. With Fighting Spirit Wrestling, right?
Yes. Fighting fucking Spirit Wrestling. If y'all don't motherfucking know, look up Fighting Spirit Wrestling, Brooklyn, New York. Yo, you're gonna see Alex Cologne take on Joe Gacy, no problem.
Nice. Yeah, that's, you know, the SAT are running that company, and got a lot of talent on there. You got Homicide,
yeah,
Sammy,
love the SAT,
Shane Douglas.
Yo.
Yeah.
Love the SAT. He's been watching them since the early days, man. And it's funny as hell to think, you know what I mean? I'm cool as shit with Joel and Will, you know what I mean? It's a hilarious thing watching dudes wrestle back in the day, early days of CZW, and just be seeing them at Force One and shit, clapping it up and bullshit, and just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's good shit. I wish y'all luck out there, you know. Hope this shit works out for them, and, you know, they blow
yeah,
it up. But, yeah, Eric.
Yeah.
You got any questions for Alex?
Well, just, you know, I enjoy your work and some of that, you know, you've been tearing it up for a while, you know. When do you think, you know, in your opinion, when did you feel that people were starting to notice you a lot more than they, you know?
There was one point where, like, it was towards the end of me tagging with the whole Armada thing, if anybody remembers that, where it was like, I was kind of at a low point and shit because I didn't feel like I was up to par. I was slacking and I don't know, there just came a point where something happened. I ended up having to wrestle Greg Excellent on my own and I did okay. And yeah, you know I mean, they eventually expressed that maybe they give me a singles chance, so to speak. And I don't know, I took it and I did all right. And then I want to say it was the third month. It was like me and Grisham. And we did a damn good, I want to say we did a fucking damn good job. I kicked the fucking shit out of his face. And from there, it seemed like legit, it seemed like month after month, like, I'd be pulling out better matches. And I just, I don't know, I guess maybe it's attributed to just working harder and pushing myself more, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Well, right. What do you think of, like, you know, I know Jay mentioned you know, WB and some of that. Like, what do you think of, like, the whole TNA thing? Is that some place that you would like to be, or?
I don't watch too much TNA. I mean, I don't get into it too much. Like, I don't know. It just, anytime I watch it, it doesn't appeal to me much. But, like in the business, when it comes to wrestling is a business. You know what I mean? It's about money, so. So, you know what I mean, if dollars talk, if I was something that somebody there wanted to see or a fan wanted to see, you know what I mean? If the money was right, I'd do what I had to do, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, definitely. What else you got, Eric?
That's pretty much.
How's it?
Yeah.
All right, well, yo, man, we don't want to hold you too long. I mean, you got to, you know, Tommy Dreamer seminar behind you and stuff, but yeah, anything else you want to put out there? Tell the fans, tell whatever.
Yeah, I want to push out to all the fans, you know what I mean? Like, all this shit going on about the arena, like, show your motherfucking support. That's what counts, especially in CZW. Like, our fans are our everything. They push us through some of the most craziest shit, so show your support. January show's coming up. You never know if it could be the last motherfucking CZW show you can see at the arena. You definitely want to be there because you know the locker room and the boys are going to go crazy. And I fucking promise you, like, I especially know in January, like, not knowing what the fuck's going to happen, you best believe I'm going to go fucking all out, balls to the wall early.
Definitely. Yeah, everybody check that out for sure. I'll definitely be there. So you always am. And everybody follow suit. But yeah, man. I mean, I guess that's pretty much it. You know, thanks for coming on, Alex.
Thanks for having me, man. Especially after me having a pool out and shit because of that whole Cage of Death thing. I mean, getting ready for my match and shit. But I appreciate you having me on. You know what I mean?
Not a problem. Anytime, dude. Yeah, holla at us and have a good night, man. Kill it.
Thanks, man.
No problem. See
you. Talk to y'all later.
All right. Yeah. So that's Alex Colon right there, everybody. Fucking good dude. Good fucking dude. Like him quite a bit. You know, I had a lot of stuff go on last week, and after the show, you know, I obviously vented on some stuff and whatever, and, you know, it was mostly because, you know, I had just done a 3.5-hour show between me and Eric and Stan, and, you know, and I expected 2 guests, and I didn't get it. But in all honesty, you know, the 2 guests afterwards, you know, within the past week have been completely, you know, apologetic and very, very humble towards the situation. Alex, you know, he was working his ass off to get ready for Cage of Death, and so was Rory. Rory actually will be on our show next week. So, for people who like him, for people who don't like him, you know, there will be people, you know, if anybody has any questions, you guys, you know, out there, you don't like him, shoot me some questions. Email me, Facebook me, whatever. Shoot me some questions that you want me to ask him, and by all means, I'll send them via Yakuza Kick, and that's just fine. But personally, I think he'll come off as just a good interview, dude. I wouldn't worry about any of that shit. Like I said, we got a lot of shit to go over in this show. I think I'll probably go over a few things before I take a break, because normally I take a break after thing. But anyway, well, I mean, first off, I think we had hinted at that. The arena was sold, and I had actually, you know, heard a bunch of different opinions. There's a lot of different stuff going on. Like Alex said, January might be the last wrestling show to go on in that arena, and you know, that's unbelievable stuff. I mean, that's really, really, you know, monumental stuff. And it's I don't have the name on hand, but it was bought by someone who is actually they like to run concerts, so they're going to completely overhaul. You know, this is a lot of this information is coming from DJ. He did a radio interview last night on the Real Side of Wrestling. So is being sold to someone who likes to promote concerts. They do want to put on a lot of concerts in that venue, and they're going to completely overhaul the building. Right now, you know, they're CZW is still under quote-unquote contract as far as indies go, but that gets them through January as far as we know. DJ is still set to sit down with the new owners of the building. But
well,
like
you know,
I said,
basically Roger sold the his share, because there's three there's three owners. It was Roger and the two majority owners of Stein and Silverman, who are lawyers, and they're going to turn over operations to the previous owner, Joanna Pang.
Right. So listen to what I'm saying. They're going to overhaul it. They're going to put in a completely new heating air conditioning system, which, you know, I mean, you guys go look that up, do some research. That's not a cheap operation. They're going to redo this place. They're going to turn it into, it's not going to look like the same place it has in the past. It's going to turn into a classier, you know, I use that term loosely, but in the same token, they are going to put a lot more money to make it look like a reputable concert venue, and you know, to host well, I mean, when you can pack 1500 wrestling fans in a building, you could probably do about the same, you know, with a band, you know, clearing that place out and doing it upright. I mean, it's a low level concert venue, but you could actually put some pretty big acts, you know, in a place that you know, can put 1,000 people in the building. So, and as of right now, still has an alcohol license too. So a liquor license and, you know, a location that has a lot of history behind it. Obviously, as a wrestling fan, I'm not a fan of this move just because, you know, the thought of it. And in my personal opinion, if they go out there and they spend tons of money on this building and, you know, they spend tons of money on this building to make it a viable thing. Do you think that they're going to let a bunch of guys with panes of glass go in there and bleed buckets all over the floor? Personally, I don't, and I'm just trying to be realistic about this because it would be insane to say that these guys are going to spend fucking thousands upon thousands of dollars and they're going to be like, oh, yeah, well, second Saturday, I guess you're going to string up the barbed wire and piss blood out of your forehead. Okay, well, good luck out there, buddy. You know, I just don't think that that's going to work out. but, you know, we'll have to see. Time will tell. It may be the last CZW show in the arena in January. Very true. Sucks. But let's treat it like that. Go out there, represent, enjoy yourself, and let's just hope. I mean, maybe there's something they could work out. Maybe there's something close by. Maybe there's something. I have no clue. But either way, that's what it is at this point. You know, Alex just called us from the arena where they're doing a training session, and it's they got Tommy Dreamer out there doing a seminar. So, I mean, you know, as of tonight, we're all good. However, there are some changes to be had, and it's going to happen, but, you know, what are you going to do? You know, life goes on. Wrestling happens all over the fucking country, so it's not going to stop because one building was sold just because, you know, that building has tremendous amount of history and everything else. Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So, yeah.
Right.
That's what it is. And, yeah, with that, where do we go from here, for Christ's sakes? I think I'm going to take a break. Nah, I'm going to take a break and then we'll do that. Play a song. Check this out. Yo, I've been on some real, like, serious old school shit lately, and Jack Frost, the rapper, Philly and this and that, teamed up with Petey Crack. He did a bunch of, like, kind of, like, throwback, you know, remake tracks, and I'm feeling these joints, so I'm going to play them. I know not everybody's into rap. This is really not my problem, but, you know, hey, check it out. Hope you like it. If not, I'll be back in 3 minutes, so it's a big deal.
White out. Jump up, man. This is Throwback Jack Part 3, baby. Yeah, this is Throwback. And I got somebody special to throw back with me. Bitch!
Crack King. Look at her, look at her. She's feeling for her thing. So it's damn little mama, you're not ready for the pain.
Even Jamaican girls call Frost top shotter. 300 pounds make room for Big Papa. 300 rounds call him Big Gunshotter. Even though I'm Frost in another man hotter. Smell a load of girls wanna say I'm baby father. All wanna get between my ranks like Shabba. Jack, no bother. Frost chase paper. Call PD Crack, maybe he might scraper. Call Freeway, maybe he might date her. I'll be in the back with the strap pulling capers. Balling with the yellow and the purple like the Lakers. My grand hustle is on robbery. Call us takers. More guns than T.I. Mind my own. Big money, get a nigga stung like a beehive. Send him to the ER, straight past the triage, straight to the OR. Brain dead so far. Frost got the west side shook like Omar. Take a nigga cargo, ride like Marlo. OG like Avon, the Teflon stay on. Fiend for the gunplay, kinda like WeeBay. Drums for the Tommy gun, got him off of eBay. I can turn your whole neighborhood to pin relays. Niggas running and jumping when the frost gets the dumping. Mashed up like Halloween, get a bullet in your pumpkin. The boy talk loud, but he not say nothing. No Thanksgiving, but it's birds and I'm stuffing. Who on test, rude boy? I'm smooth boy in a coop with me, myself, and I like true boy. Jack, true to that. Y'all new to that. Young girls call me Don Dada like I'm Super Cat. Like it when I do it from the back, and she do it back. Through the kitchen sink at her ass, and she threw it back. I'm about to kill the bitch like Sasha. Jack, man, leave that thing smoking like a Rasta. Batman, pasta, white sauce, and lobster. Hot sauce, busting my Glock off. Who shot you.
Ring a ring a ring, cell phone ring. One contact, Jack Frost and Crack King. Look at her, look at her, she's feeling for the thing. So it's damn little mama, you not ready for the pain. Ring a ring a ring, cell phone ring. One contact, Jack Frost and Crack King. Look at her, look at her, she's feeling for the thing. So it's damn little mama, you not ready for the pain. Hey Jack, let me talk about this funky regular freak. Well, look over vicious and Shaheen. The sex too much, I couldn't make her mag ring. She blew my brain like Kurt Cobain. Smell like teen spirit, I need a young thing. I need a snack pond recess in gym class we get. Physical, I don't know how she get into those resets. Lunchtime, she eat treat, juice and crimpet. Math class, she can't think, she need Crizette. Cut class, took her ass straight to my resets. Me and school girl gotta study for the chizette. Booty so fat, got crack king possessed. Gotta keep it quiet, free ain't jacking in his ex. Rizzo, recording a tune that's a bomb like Bizzle. So mama keep it quiet like a kitten. Pussy purr like a flying spur engine. I fit in her like a hand in the midton. Ding-a-ling-a, ling, we sing ding-a-ling to those pretty young things. Maybe it's Maybelline.
Yeah, man. So that's, like I said, a little throwback remake, John, and I was feeling that. So so what it is, what are we going to go into next? Something that just happened recently, and, you know, I had talked to some people and whatnot, and at the show, I had a great time, and I will get to that. But, before I do, you know, some stuff, and I'm not going to mention names, I'm not going to blow people's spot or anything like that, but, you know, I had predicted complete failure on the side of Urban Wrestling Federation, and all the signs are there, and I talked to several wrestlers in the back, and they, hold on, I got to, Paul, I actually posted that, Jersey is far better than Delaware. I apologize for being better. It's not Eric. It's Jay. So, yeah, it's a shame. Anyway, so we're not going to go on a big bash Delaware rant. Bashes itself. You could pretty much go back if you want to know, you know, what I'm talking about and what actually has been going down as far as their thing goes. Go back and watch, the first event, okay? Look at the roster, look at the people showcased, look at the, the people that they really put up front, okay? And then make sure you watch their next event and mark down all the people that are missing. Chances are the people that you see missing aren't coming back. So then start thinking about what the future looks like without those people. So it's on its way down, which I predicted from the start, because any federation that goes out of your way to really decide that everybody in the company is going to have the same gimmick, same gimmick. That's what's going down. We're all going to be gangsters. I want jean shorts across the board. I want a lot of gun references, gang signs, and we're going to tie a wrapper to every one of your belt loops. Well, just not going to work out, and it's a shame when I'm right, When I go back and forth with wrestlers on the internet of how it's not a joke, and it's this, and it's that, and it'll be fine, and then next thing you know, just watch. Pay attention. It's not going to last. It's not going to last too much longer. So, anyway, that's that. I guess they can pretty much start jumping into these shows, all right? The first show of the day, what's that?
Well, let me throw it out there real quick. I was supposed to go to Cajun Death, but due to... on the way there, we're like 20 minutes out and the car dies. So, yeah, I didn't get the chance to make, because we were supposed to spend like all day. Like, we were supposed to leave. We left at 12 and So I got out of work and
left at 12.
We got home and yeah, the car died, and so I had to get a ride home, and I watched the
pay-per-view Giants, right?
Yeah, both of them. So
right,
I got a good deal on them too. I got a good, really good deal. I got the DVD and everything.
That actually is a really good deal. Eric broke this shit down to me the other day, and I got to tell you, that's fucking the best deal going. And you know,
yeah,
wrestling companies can.
The way you just were saying, I got to tell you, that's something that is a mass maniac would say. I don't know.
I got to tell
you. Mass maniac rubbing off on you, though.
But, no, listen, man, I'm just saying, that is a great deal. That is one of those things that I think could really, really help boost the indies. It could really help save the indies, quite honestly, because, well, the deal is, okay, you got two shows. It was a doubleheader, and for $40, Eric was able to get the stream.
It was actually $48.90. That's what I paid.
$48.90, okay? You got the stream on two shows. You got to see the shows live at your house. And they also give you the DVDs when they're released of those same shows. So it's kind of the equivalent of seeing it live, a.k.a. attending it. Obviously, you're not live in the crowd, so it's not quite the same. But you get somewhat of the, you know, sitting at home, but you're seeing it live as it happens, like a pay-per-view. Imagine, you know, WWE, and they only run one show, and they charge you like $50, and you're only seeing one wrestling show, and it usually fucking highly disappoints. So for that $50, imagine if they also sent you the DVD of that show when it came out. I mean, that at $50 would be a nice fucking lookout, you know? This, you got a double header. You got two full wrestling shows. You got, like, probably close to 8 hours of wrestling, you know? And then you also get the DVDs to watch it over and over again when they come out because, you know, that's part of the price. And I think that's a tremendous, tremendous go. I mean, you figure the Indie Summit show, I think the general admission was $20. And the Cage of Death show, general admission, $25. So look at it as that, you know, and you got $45 right there on the table. And you ain't getting the fucking DVDs unless you go buy the DVDs on top of that. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a real good deal. And shit, for every time, you know, you guys see the iPay-per-views out, if they got that type of deals and you can't make it out, hit that shit up, man. That's fucking
and
well
and
worth
here's
it.
Here's the thing. Everybody talks shit on the streams and, like, saying, oh, the stream hybrid and EMC does not work. It does not work. I'm going to tell you right now, I have the worst fucking computer in the fucking world. This shit is a piece of junk, but guess what? I only had to refresh it once, and it was because something was going on at their fucking end, and I had to refresh it, and then it came back, and that was on the day show, but I only missed like a minute and a half of the opening. Like, they were doing a pre-show thing, so I didn't even miss any of the show. But Cage of Death, it went smooth as hell, and it was, you know, good audio, and, you know, all types of stuff, you know what I mean? And for an extra $15, I could have got both shirts.
Both shirts.
So it would have been like 60. Yeah, both shirts of the Indie Summit shirt and the Cage of Death.
For an extra $15, right?
For an extra $15, yes.
Yeah, and honestly, like, those shows are definitely. Yeah, I mean, those shirts will actually cost you $20 each at the show. So it's crazy.
Shirt,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's a great deal. And, you know, these, I think, where the future of the indies are. There's a lot of torrents going on and people downloading and stuff like that. And, you know, I mean, in this day and economy and stuff like that, you really can't blame people. It's out there. You know it's available. People are going to do it or they're not going to do it. But if you're able to see the stream as well as, you know. Brent's saying that he heard they cut the stream a tad too early. DJ actually said to cut the stream off because he wanted to drop the big announcement to just the fans in attendance and da-da-da-da-da-da. So, no, it's invalid, and the announcement isn't that serious. Well, I mean, I guess it is, but it's not. Yeah, I'll get to that later. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a tremendous deal, dude. And, yeah, Eric took advantage of that, so he'll be getting the DVDs and all of that stuff and, you know, doing the thing.
So.
But I would have liked to have been there. I'll be straight up honest.
Of course, you can't be being there. So anyway, the Indy Summit. Oh man, I was actually on time. I was actually there early, and I
Holy
saw the
shit.
Whole card. I didn't miss the opening match. And yeah. Well.
Wow.
The Indy Summit started out with Dan Sciocodino defeating DJ Hyde. And listen, man, I went into this very, very against the, in there very against the Dan Sciocodino thing. And, you know, I've never been a Christopher Street Connection fan. I've never been a fan of the gay gimmick. It's just corny. I got to tell you, I am a fan of Dan Sciocodino. He does it the best I've ever seen, ever seen a gay gimmick done. I mean, the dude, Paul knows this firsthand, he actually gropes fans when he's on the outside. And, yeah, he tried to grab Paul's dick.
That was Paul? That was Paul? Because they fucking showed a fucking... I fucking thought it was somebody I fucking seen before, and I was like, yo, is this fucking somebody I know? I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, he was going all around the ring. If he was on the outside, he was trying to jump the rail and grab people's dick and all of that stuff. And he was so over the top, and he was like, the thing is he wasn't just gay. He was like super fucking pervert, fucking sexual predator gay. And that's what kind of made it fucking entertaining, because he was like so fucking overly, you know, he was fucking invasive gay, you know, he was wrong fucking court case gay. And that's kind of the shit that made it funny to me. And I don't know, man, he did a good job with it. You know, did the fucking DJ's head in his fucking trunks fucking pile driver on him. And, yeah, I mean, he's got quite a fucking gimmick going, man.
The thing with Larry was pretty funny. When DJ was punched him, he would punch him on the outside, and then fucking he would kiss fucking he would kiss Larry. And he fucking... That's so funny.
Yeah, I just thought he did it really well. And, you know, like I said, I'm definitely, you know, you can ask the people who know me. I said, I am not, supporter of the gay gimmick. That's usually the fucking shit that I'm out. I'm not having it. I'm not fucking sitting around for that shit. But that was actually very entertaining. Yeah, it was not it wasn't a long match, so it wasn't like you're on out, like, you know, a half hour of, you know, gay gimmick or anything like that. So it was cool, though. I enjoyed it. You know, surprisingly, I enjoyed it. So anyway. Next matchup, you had Philly's Most Wanted taking on Kamui and Devin Moore. Well, the match was okay. And, Stan's telling me to just come out. It's okay. Yeah. That's funny. Why don't you fucking get in the chat room, you fucking retard. Yeah, we'll have Stan on a little later to bust balls. But, so anyway, this was okay. The flow went okay. It was nothing special. You know, Kamui was pretty impressive. He did the little, Sabu triple jump moonsault spot. And
cool.
He had some pretty cool offense and stuff like that. But, you know, Joker and G's versus Devin, I mean, they're all familiar with each other, and it was a pretty laid-back match. It wasn't really – these guys weren't trying to, you know, blow the roof off the joint. They weren't trying to do something you've never seen before. And, it's just, you know.
That's what I thought when I was watching the match. I'm like, wow, this is like fucking like – they're on like autopilot with this match. Like, they're just fucking – like, they're just phoning it in. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I thought about it. I'm like, wait a minute. They both have high-profile matches later on in the night. You're not going to kill yourself.
Right.
It's like a match of a fucking a Japan show, so.
Right, definitely. Next up, you had Sami Callihan defending his junior heavyweight title against Yoshihito Sasaki. And at that dude's pretty fucking powerful. And, you know, Sammy went in there, pretty much did his normal shit. Fucking went in there aggressive and all of that. And I got to say that I would probably call this the show stealer.
I agree.
I'd probably take that as match of the show. So, yeah, they went back and forth. A lot of hard-hitting stuff. Definitely worth seeing. If there's something you're looking to really see out there, I would definitely go with that. So, yeah. That's,
and on commentary, they said they had wrestled twice before. One time in WXW, and I think the other time in Japan. I want to say that's what they said on commentary.
Huh?
I said,
is that what they said on commentary? I had no commentary.
Yeah, they had wrestled twice before, so it was like their third encounter.
Yeah. I don't know, man, but it was, you know, my first time seeing this guy, and, you know, I'd seen quite a bit of the other Sasaki, but I never seen this guy, and, yeah, they tore it up, man. They beat the shit out of each other. Sammy came out on top defending his title, and, yeah, I was happy with the match. Definitely happy with the match. So, next up was Takashi Sasaki and Kengo Mishimo versus Drake Younger and Masada. I personally would have liked to see a little bit more of a stiff to this match, some kind of death match influence. I don't know Kengo Mishimo that well. He was very impressive in the match. I don't know if he's down for any type of death match type stiff. I mean, they probably could have kept him out of it, and they don't have to do, you know, no rope barbed wire, 200 light tubes. I mean, they could have just done, like, some kind of innovative, you know, even like a TLC type thing, you know, something to add to that, because Sasaki is a fucking animal. Like, this dude, yeah, I've seen him take the Koba driver on, Koba driver on several Kenzans, and just unbelievable. The dude, you know, went in there with Abdullah Kobayashi, did his thing, and, you know, so many other, you know, matches I've seen this guy, and he's badass, dude. I've seen him with Kasai, I've seen him with a lot of guys, and fuck yeah, man. I was happy to see him. I just wish I could have seen him in somewhat of a death match, kind of stipulation. He was in with Drake and Masada, and it was just kind of a little bit of a tease to me. It was a good match, but, you know, obviously I was looking forward to Drake being in with Rory later on that night, and I was looking forward to Masada being in the cage of death, and then, you know, deathmatch superstar Sasaki, and just a little bit of a, it's kind of tease, you know. I had that itch to see something really good out of these guys, and it was good, but it wasn't exactly what I was hoping for. So,
real quick though, I totally forgot to mention this earlier in the second match when we were talking about Devin. I fucking broke down in tears, laughing my ass off at Devin's entrance. I'm like, he fucking come, you know, a little smoke coming out, fucking walking. I'm like, okay, he's gonna walk right into the fucking ring. No, he fucking walks around the barricades and fucking slapping the fans. I'm like, when the fuck did he start doing that? Because I know on this show, like, every time he comes out, we, you know, like, every time we talk about a CCW show, we're always talking about how fucking no, you know, just goes in the ring, that's it, fucking nothing. He was fucking actually smiling, fucking, you know, slapping the hands of people. I was like, what the fuck? But anyway.
Right. So what did you think of the match?
What, the Masada and
Yeah.
It was good. I just felt that I got, like you said, it could have been something like some type of gimmick match or, you know, something. I like the ending of the, like, that whole, like, they were gonna, like, kind of bow to them, and then it kind of, like, led into, like an attack type deal. I was kind of,
That's just kind of weird to me, because there's no, like, what's happening next. Like, seriously, like, they're going back to Japan. Drake's going back to Indiana. What's happening next? Like, yeah, they might come back, and you could hope you get them all together again. But, I mean, it just, I don't understand the point of that. So, anyway, next matchup, you had Kudo defeating Masahiro Takanashi and Dick Togo in Togo's last U.S. East Coast appearance. Quite frankly,
I've never seen Masahiro Takanashi before, but this guy is the Japanese Pinky Sanchez. Everybody in the fucking arena was saying it as they saw him, and I'm definitely not the first person or last person to say it. He will continue to hear this shit. Paul or one of them posted his picture and said something about, hey, looks like Pinky, and, you know, tagged him in the thing. And Pinky's like, I thought that was me when I saw the picture. And he's like, who is this dude? You know, and someone had to drop the knowledge on Pinky because he thought it was fucking Pinky. So, you know, it's fucking accurate that way. But, yeah, he had the mannerisms. He had the whole shit where it was really, you know, it really looked like fucking Pinky Sanchez, man. It was crazy. But, yeah, it was a good match. Kudos fucking phenomenal. Dick Togo did a fucking great job out there. I was really happy to see, you know, Dick Togo live before he called it a day because, you know, seen him on DVD quite a few times. And, you know, definitely, it was a pleasure. So, good shit. Right. They tore it up. What do you think?
And Kudo, you know, it's not my first time, you know, I've seen Kudo live before, you know, when he was in Chikara. This is back in 05. But, like, he's leaps and bounds better than he was back when I saw him live. And, you know, he was fucking a phenomenal when I saw him back then. Fucking, you know, he's just coming into his own. I thought it was kind of like, you know, it was kind of cool, you know, with the, you know, when Kudo won the match and, you know, Togo kind of, you know, and they said on commentary, that was pretty much the passing of the torch from Dick Togo to Kudo. You know,
yeah,
with the sign of respect out of Togo for Kudo. But the match was good. You know, other than that, there was some good stuff. And you could tell that Togo still has it, you know, I don't even know how old he is. Like, how old would you say he is?
No clue, dude. I'm not even going to guess and talk of disrespect to it or anything like that. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But he still has it,
you know what I mean? He still got it.
Oh, definitely, and it's great to lead by you still do, you know? I mean, some of these guys, they shit on their fucking legacy, you know? You get some of these old fucking washed-up dudes, and it's just like, I used to like you. Fucking Sting, you know? Sting running around fucking dressing like 10 different fucking movie stars that he never was, and, you know, it's just ridiculous. You get this different type of shit, and you just sit there and go, man, I used to like Sting. Shit. Just disgruntled that you're even having to watch someone you used to actually support, and now they're looking like shit all the time, and it's just all you can get. All you can get. So, yeah. I mean, what could you do? There's no fixing these fucking people.
Cough, Ric Flair. Cough. What?
What? Oh, Ric Flair. Well, you know. Yeah, he's a good example as well. I can't even say Hogan because, quite honestly, I'm one of the people that'll tell you straight up that Hogan was never good. I really, really never gave that much of a shit about Hulk Hogan.
But he made money, and that's all that matters in wrestling.
Yeah, he made money, but yeah, he made me fucking bored every time he was in the ring. His offense wasn't fucking.
But hey.
Yeah, his offense wasn't cool in the fucking 80s. You know, when his whole shit was supposed to be cool and it was supposed to be working and all that, like, that shit wasn't cool back then, so.
Not cool now either.
No, of course, so. It hasn't changed anything. So anyway, I don't want to get into some TNA talk because I really have none of it. So then you had the main event in a Shattered Dreams match. Ruji Ito and Danny Havoc defeated Jockey Numazawa and the crazy monkey Jun Kasai. You know, good match. No problem with the match. You know, pretty crazy for what it was. You know, like four panes of glass or something like that. Pretty standard issue panes of glass match. Again, wasn't like a steal the fucking show, I've never seen this before type stuff. Pretty standard issue, and seeing as we haven't had panes of glass in the arena since Scotty and Drake went in there and they used the wrong panes, not because of Scotty and Drake, but, you know, the wrong panes and almost cost somebody their life,
You know, we haven't seen panes of glass in there since. So it was refreshing to see that and know that, you know, that's back in the building and it was going to, you know, go right back into what we were doing and all that stuff. So I was happy to see it. But, yeah, it was good. I'm a fucking Jun Kasai mark. Like, I am, hands down, I call him the best deathmatch wrestler to ever do it. And I've never strayed from that theory. And that's my deal with that.
He's so talented.
Yeah, he is. Just awesome dude, and, you know, yeah, you can't deny his fucking talent as a top deathmatch wrestler. I mean, if he's not the best deathmatch wrestler ever in people's opinion, he's got to be top five to anyone you talk to, or they don't know what they're talking about.
What about Necro?
Yeah. Oh, Necro's in the running. Like, you know,
right.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that belong in that list, but if you're not calling Jun Kasai number one, then he should definitely be within your top five. That's all I'm saying. Like, I personally pick him as top. Not everyone's going to. Everyone has their own opinion. That's not a problem. I understand that. However, if he's not your top, he should be in your top five. Or I would argue that you probably don't know what you're talking about. You know, Jun Kasai is a fucking animal. He's a monkey. Crazy monkey. But, you know, it's just, like I said, just my opinion. And,
Did you feel that Ito was kind of like, you know, I mean, his match with fucking Masada at Chris Cash show in September was better than what I thought it was going to be. Did you feel that it went kind of, for him, it was like, I could care less if I see him again?
Well, I said it when, you know, he wrestled Masada. This fucking guy has lost all of his speed. Like, he took all of his speed out of the equation with whatever beating he's put on himself, you know, through time. I mean,
right.
Honestly, you cannot fucking, you can't compare his work now to his work in the past. You just can't. It's not even close. So, that's that. He continues to do it. I give him credit for that. But in the same token, I mean, stop just pasting him all over the main events because, you know, and it's okay, you know, with tag teams because it could be worked around and stuff like that. But, yeah, him one-on-one with Masada was pretty fucking brutal for what I hoped to see and what I expected. And then what we got, it was so slow motion. Yeah, he just really didn't seem like he wanted to be there, like Paul's saying. I don't know, man. He just looked out of it. I mean, he looks like an old fucking broken Jin Kazama. And, you know... that's not something I can fix. I can give him respect for everything I liked about him in the past, but he just looks like a fucking retired Jin Kazama. And he's out there just looking defeated, like Kuma Bear just beat his ass. And, you know, he lost a couple of rounds with Heihachi, and now he's just pissed off. He's like, fuck that. I don't even want to play this shit no more. Nina's telling me Dick Togo is 42.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, but he can still fucking work for 42. So, that is that. That is the Indie Summit. So, yeah. You can't even, it's funny, you can't even write Dick Togo in the chat room because they'll edit out the dick. star Togo. It's so funny.
Put it in capital letters. Tell these people to put it in capital letters.
Oh, if you put it in capital letters, you can curse all you want?
Or you can, like, say, like spell it wrong. If you spell
it
wrong.
Does work. That does work. I just checked it. Interesting note. Nice. So, yeah.
Interesting note in the chat room. Yes.
Yes. That's how you curse. You got to scream it. If you scream your curses, oh, wow. Maybe it's a host thing. The host can curse. Everybody else, watch your fucking language.
out there. We will not tolerate fucking cursing in the chat room, cocksuckers.
What,
anyway.
What about if you spell it wrong, but you still have the same, like, the same meaning? Like, maybe, like, put, like, you're trying to spell, like, dick, so B-I-C-C-C-C-K, you know what I mean?
I would argue that it, all of this is not worth it, you know?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, you can misspell words, and I'm sure they're not going to pick that up, but, yeah, you know. Innovate yourself off in the chat on cursing. I don't know. Apparently, I could fucking curse as a host. That's pretty cool. Fuck it. Yeah, you just got to be PC. Call it. Yeah, whatever. Shit. I mean, before we get into CZW, because we're going to bring Stan on for that and do some of that stuff, too. But before we get into any of that, let's talk some Chikara.
Here we go.
It was a, you know, big... Yeah, that's funny. He could post cock togo in the chat room, but he can't put dick togo. it was a big hit last week that Eric's pronunciation of the Japanese language, and they put on a, you know, 3 days worth of shows, and
I had
a tremendous
fucking put
amount
on three
of Japanese.
Days of fucking talking and fucking about these stupid shows.
Yeah,
about stupid shows, so stupid fucking stupid pronunciations.
So now that the shows are in the books, we got to hear Eric tell us what happened in these matches. You got that up
yet? Give me a little time. I can't fucking... My laptop is acting up, so... Give me a
okay.
little time.
Okay,
and,
no problem. Yeah, ROH ran
stuff.
Their show this weekend, too. Yeah, man. So much to go over. Man... It was such a
I'll
fun
have
weekend. I'll have
these car results in like a minute, so give me a minute.
In like a minute. Like a minute. Where are you running to? Jesus.
I'm actually running.
Yes.
I just moved the chair.
Oh. Sounded like you ran into Japan to find out the translation to the show. Yes, we are having Japanese with Eric. Once again. It's a segment. I'm going to come up with an intro for this segment, and we're going to do it. We're going to do it big. Japanese with Eric.
You need to have, like, cheesy music?
Oh, yes, we will. Yes, we will. Cheesy music it will. You know? Definitely going to get that. I don't know where the results are. I would like you to find them.
I thought this place had the results, and it didn't. No, it just has the fucking match card. What the fuck?
Find it! You must find it. So we'll do like this. Did you find a card yet?
I'm looking for it. Come on.
Jesus Christ. I mean, we're kind of live. We'll do it live! Fuck it!
Alright, I have, oh, this is going to be fun.
We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live!
So here's how we'll start the segment. We'll go... We have Japanese with Eric.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it? Yes.
All right, so let's see if this will work. No, that only gives me match fucking listings. It says
night one and night three results.
It fucking says, these are night one and night two and night three results. Match listings. Only match. On to the next one. Let's see what this one. Yes.
I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
Alright, so I have night. Wow, so fucking night three, but no night one and two.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus!
Alright, let me fucking see if this will work. I'm going to like fucking four different websites to find this fucking result, so this is going to be worth it.
Fucking internet! Fucking stupid fucking internet!
Alright, so now I have four results right here.
Four results? Alright,
ready? Yes, I do.
Oh, ready as ever.
All right, so night one,
this is fucking going to be interesting.
Yes, it is.
All right, so Kaori, Yonyama, Tusaba, Kurgaki, and Hanako, Nakamori, beat Archibald Peck, El Hijo de Ice Cream, and Ice Cream Jr. With the one chick had both of the ice creams up with a double torture rack.
Ah.
Gami.
All right.
Gami defeated Sawako Shimono. Tim Dance defeated Green Ant. Ayoko Hamada and Cherry defeated Mayumu Ozaki and Mio Shiri. Manami Toyota defeated Toshi Yumensahu in a 20-minute match.
Yeah, they did.
Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano defeated Fire and Soldrant. And Sara Del Rey defeated Asia Kong.
Oh. Okay.
And that was Friday in Philly. Which they're saying that could be the last Chikara show in Philly.
Yes.
Because, yes. All right, so okay. Let's see if this is in fucking order. Night one, the opening was Toshi Yumensahu and Gami defeated Cherry, Gami defeated Cherry and Sawako Shimono. Ophidian defeated Gregory Iron by submission. Kaori Yonyama defeated Hanako Nakamori. A lot of quick fucking matches. 7 minutes and 8 minutes for the last two. Mayumi Ozaki defeated Mio Shiri, and she fucking beat him with the Yakuza kick. How about that?
Yakuza!
Right. Sara Del Rey defeated Tusabu Kurgaki. Apparently, it's supposed to be the best match of the night. Manami Toyota, Mike Quackenbush, Fire and Soldier Ant defeated Portia Perez, Icarus, Chuck Taylor, Johnny Gargano. Wait a minute. Never mind. Okay, I can't talk about that.
What?
Defeated Portia Perez, Icarus, Chuck Taylor, and Johnny Gargano. No, I'm just making sure. A night. It's something we're not allowed to talk about on the air, but hey, well, you know, it's only speculation. Asia Kong and Ayoko defeated Ayoko Hamada in apparently it's one of the most physical matches that people have seen.
Wait, what happened that we're not, we can't talk?
Well,
what?
Hey, we can't talk about it because it's possibly revealing somebody's identity. But I'm just wondering, I just saw one name and I saw the other name. He was a cage of death. So maybe it was a different person.
Ah. Uh-huh.
But it was something we brought up during the Drew Gulak interview.
Oh.
So I was kind of like confused there for a second.
Gotcha.
And this was in Massachusetts, so. And main event was, the Kong match, and that was one of the matches that you should see. That was for both those those two nights. And then night three, I'll have up in 1 second.
All right.
Got to go to the second page.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
All right, so night three was, I forgot to say this, but night one, they gave an achievement award to Miami Toyota.
That's nice.
So
that was awful. Nice of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else happened?
Yeah, I'm fucking waiting. This shit is loaded.
They gave her an award and called it a day. I'd be pissed.
What an achievement award for fucking? I don't even know what it was.
Here's your award. Thanks for coming out, guys.
Night one they gave that shit to her, and then she had to wrestle.
What?
What's up?
So
let's say this fucking wrestlingforum.com for taking forever to load.
Ah.
Yes.
I
was on the third page, this page before, and now it's fucking right there.
Well.
This is bullshit, man.
Yes.
Motherfucker.
What's going on here?
I am having complete trouble with this fucking internet. Like,
fucking bullshit!
So, we got another card there. What we got going? Huh?
I'm waiting and waiting on this fucking computer. This is it.
You drank a bottle of fucking wine. That! Fucking disrespectful to me, you motherfucker!
Yeah. Oh,
still loading.
Jesus.
God help us, Jesus. God and baby Jesus help us.
This is not a... This is not a...
I got it going.
Oh, shit!
How to fucking refresh, get out of the page, and go to a different page. All right, so night three was Los Ice Creams defeated Dasher Hatfield and Saturne.
Hell fucking yeah!
Gama defeated Portia Perez. Brody Lee defeated Ultramanus Black. Toshi,
yeah.
Yumen Sahu, Oberyn, Kodama, and Cobalt defeated Cherry in the Colony. It was a fantastic match. Mayumi Ozaki defeated Kaori Yonyama. Asia Kong, Tsubu Kurigaki, and Mio Shirai defeated Miami Toyota, Suako Shimono, and Hanako Nakamori. A 29-minute match. It's apparently a 5-star match. Sarah Del Rey in the main event, Sarah Del Rey defeated Ayoko Hamada. Match of the year. So apparently all these fucking matches on these shows were fucking awesome. According to...
The hooker is already happy.
Yeah. All right. So I just... How about that fucking MMA Stewlebs fucking show? How about that show?
So,
anyway.
Awesome stuff, right? I mean, was that the main event?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. So that has been Japanese with Eric.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Yes. Yeah, man.
I did a little bit better this week. I didn't butcher it all the whole fucking show.
Yeah, I know. We need to get different cards, different companies. We need to just freshen it up, you know? You can't learn.
Yeah, I'll do fucking results all week for Dragon Gate, and I'll do all types of shit.
Oh, yeah, man. We're going to do fucking Pro Wrestling Noah, All Japan, New Japan. We're gonna fucking cross the world.
See, I know those names, so I won't have a problem with that shit.
No, you
it's
don't.
Like those independent, it would be those independent companies.
No, you don't. No, you don't. I guarantee you. We're doing fucking... I'll pull a fucking complete random card out of my hat next week, and I'm going to just send you the link for it next week, and you'd be like, oh, shit. Because I could tell you Noah this week, but I might pull All Japan next week. You know, you never know. There might be a few names you know in there, but the other ones, oh, boy. Yeah, I hit them hard for that segment. Japanese with Eric. Pretty awesome. ROH, what happened with ROH? Do you know? Have any idea?
They were in the Carolinas. Adam Cole was fucking there, so.
Yeah, they were.
I'm wondering when
the
fuck Adam Cole's gonna finding the results right now.
Huh?
So I'm looking at the result, getting the results right now.
Okay. Nice.
They have a show coming up, Is this
it's 5:30 in the morning here on October 28th. I'm in a parking lot of a Motel 6.
I bet you are.
Yeah. So, what happened with the, That's of Honor over there? Who was on the card?
Amy Winehouse.
I don't think so.
So December 3rd, and I have the Saturday show available.
Okay.
All right, so Mike Bennett defeated Adam Cole. The Bravado Brothers defeated a mystery tag team who are under masks called Los Pendejos. TJ Perkins lost to Jay Lethal. The Young Bucks defeated All Night Express. Are you there?
Yeah.
The Briscoes defeated... Briscoes defeated Cedric Alexander and Caprice Coleman. Who else? World's Greatest Tag Team beat Michael Elgin and Roderick Strong. Eddie Edwards defeated El Generico. And a fucking long-ass match. It was a 20-man rumble. And Jay Lethal just won to earn a future world title shot.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, take the Richard. Yeah, Paul
so
Saint, them boys. Them boys.
Do we have any promos for the Briscoes?
No. I was going to pull one that they did another, like, 10 questions where they sat down. The only problem with that as far as an audio clip goes is the questions were asked like they were reading them, and they would just post the question on the screen. So to play an audio of that doesn't come off as well. Like, you would just hear them just go, "El Generico, Kevin Steen." And you'd just be like, what the fuck are they talking about? Well, they were saying, like, toughest opponents. You know what I mean? And for me to jump in and try to sub that in between them, it'd be too hectic. But, yeah, you guys should check it out. They're
so pretty entertaining. I have the second show of the double shot. They ran in Greensboro. First match. Mike Bennett and TJP opened the show. Mike Bennett won. All Night Express defeated the Bravado Brothers. Jay Lethal defeated Adam Cole. Young Bucks defeats Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander. Andy Ridge defeated Samson. In a special 2-hour time limit, 8-man elimination match with the Briscoes, Michael Elgin, Roderick Strong, and World's Greatest Tag Team, Eddie Edwards and El Generico. Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas and Eddie Edwards and El Generico won at 1 hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That was the main event.
All right. Well, seemed like a good outing for those guys. I don't know. I don't fucking know. But anyway, getting ready to go into the CZW and all that stuff, and we will be bringing on my boy Stan for that, so I'm going to hold on for him for a minute, but I'm actually going to play a song right quick. Another one of those throwback joints that Petey Crack and Jack Frost did, and we'll play that. And after that, hopefully we'll come back, we'll get some Stan on, all three of us will go over this whole thing. And no, I don't think Chaz Bono is on ROH at the moment, but they're kind of using him on and off, and I don't know, probably Final Battle thing. They didn't do Final Battle yet, right?
That's the 23rd.
Yeah, so they'll do Final Battle with fucking Chaz Bono. And check this track out. We'll come back, and we'll tear some shit up with the CZ fucking... Yeah, I ain't got no ghetto boys, Brent. But thanks for asking. But check it out.
Avenger style.
Jack Frost. Throwback. Jack.
in that throwback crack. You're playing with a loaded gun.
Okay.
Hey, Frost.
That Primo shit.
It's like crack in the 80s.
I spit it for my kush smoking niggas as jar heads. This beat remind me of something BR said. All I do is sucker punches and back smack. You ain't got to be up on the stage to get clapped at. If you see me with a knapsack, best believe I got a half a brick in it and a black mac. Frostman, young bitches call me Fat Jack. Send my niggas through your hood in a black hack. Black gloves, black hoodie, and a black hat. Like I send my gray wolves where you trap at. Infrared make it hard to miss. If you're on the beach, put a blood on the sand like Spartacus. My crew get fresh like Barry B and Chill Will. Got down bitches that'll murder like Kill Bill. The world keeps turning, my Glock keeps burning. I'm rolling with the Uma like my last name was Thurman. Linked up with Poppy and triple my earnings. Lyrical BMW, I spit it in German. Big body 750 at a rap game. About to let the Mac aim straight for your crap game. So next time the dice roll around, leave the money right next to your ice on the ground. Or you can get your wig split twice on the ground. Don't make me tell Dan and hit you twice with the pound. Please don't think it's sweeter from Solo Jack. My strap will knock the horse off that polo hat. No matter if it's a group or solo track, none of your little niggas got a flow like Jack. None of your little niggas getting dough like Jack. In the middle of the summer, make a snow like Jack. Why you think they calling me Frost? First y'all niggas wanna go to war, then you calling it off. First you got your own block, now you calling me boss. It is what it is, fuck you, call it a loss. But if I catch you calling the cops, you could call it a death sentence, I just call it a Glock. I call it my bill money, you call it a rock. I got a whole separate phone, fiends call it a lot. Frost getting poppin' from Philly to Boston. I got something for your depression, something for your coffin. Damn X is in the pro mess, oh yes. I'm the one that the town watch protest. Philly is a whole mess. Even off-duty cops can't walk around without no vest. Like Sean Tate said, I'm so fresh, I sell weed like D-O-double-G smoke, no stress.
Friend of me or enemy, you all got it in for me. Make me wanna spray you like a quick game of centipede. Remember me? I'm the little poppy with the big shotty that'll knock the soul out your body. Don't get snotty, talking that dumb shit. I get body, start talking that gun shit. Want you to jump and get your mark ass dealt with. You little bastard.
You're strapped, nigga.
Hell yeah, partner. They playing no games. Yesterday a little girl called me cocaine. No shame in my game, that's my whole name. Only nigga call me Shuki is my old gang. I'm on that gold plane. I need a perk break. Codeine, you know that earthquake. Every day my birthday is heat pack perfect. Let me get that OJ, a nigga a little thirsty. Now back to the business. Funny, suddenly see you back on the Disney. Funny, want me to bust them open like a biscuit. All she gets from me is fudges on a lipstick. In your mouth, Greg, tell a friend, I tell a friend again. I killed the end again like Biggie on a Benjamin. I got some weed and took some bitches and a Benigan. Got a fajita and a margarita cinnamon. Then again, it should have been a treat to meet the ginger man. Am I him or I am? Catch me if you can, I got that slam in my hand. Brandon know what I am. Look like he had about 25 grand in them skinny pants. He said, well, goddamn, Chrissy, don't fake me, I'm your man. I said, well, goddamn, Willie, you in my part of town. They call it to the land, and shit be going down. Where little girls is infected and passing it around. And 65% of the youngins is gay now. And rappers get they rattled and scattered to A-town.
Whoa, ho, crack. Wait a minute. Wait a motherfucking minute. Go back, crack. Go back, Jack. Sorry, I'm playing for all that. That niggas know what it is, man. Spirits is in the building with your boy, man. Come out. I might even see a Jackman, Crackman CD and some crazy shit like that. Throwback Jack. Holla Jack, you haters!
Yeah, man. Hey, what's going on?
You.
You there?
Talking to me? Yo,
yeah.
What's up?
Chilling. Yeah, I was figuring out how we'll bring you on, do the whole thing, man. Fucking. So, first show, CZW. I mean, we'll go through the thing little by little and the whole thing, but overall, what's your take?
All right, first off, I want to start off by saying that the show had everything that a wrestling fan could ask for. It had amazing moves. Great match strategy, surprise finishes, engaging fans that were knowledgeable and entertaining themselves. The guy sitting behind you or a little to your back to your right with the signs had me laughing all night with some of his signs. The excitement filled the air. The move was set for 4 hours of nonstop scintillating action. The wrestlers laid it on the line and left their blood and sweat in the ring. Saturday night was just a dazzling display of entertainment that basically left the fans thirsting for more. I'm thrilled to call myself a CZW wrestling fan.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you enjoyed it. You know, I for those who don't know, I didn't fucking introduce him, but this is Stan. It's my dude, and yeah, I fucking coerced him to go to a CZW show this past Saturday, and you know, what a tremendous show to really start off your viewing of CZW on, and I was very happy with the event myself. You know, we're gonna go through it, and you know, Eric watched it on the pay-per-view, and me and you seen it live, and I figure we'll go through it. Well, first match up was Jake Crist taking on his brother Dave Crist, and he retained his CZW Wire TV title, and I thought it was a phenomenal match. I mean, these guys are what chemistry is all about, obviously being brothers and tag team for so long and gaining many titles across the indie circuit as tag team champions, and they went in and tore it up. You've seen a lot of innovative offense and just quick moving stuff, and I don't think you can ask for a much better opener. What did you guys think?
Jay, I thought it was a fantastic opener. I thought the match was very crisp, hard-hitting, good offenses from both guys. I just thought it was a fantastic match.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of both of these guys. What do you think, Eric?
I'm going to fucking tell you right now that after the show went off the air, I kind of was thinking, I was like, you know, who the fuck could be like the opener? And, you know, we had talked on air about doing, you know, Rory and Drake, and I was like, yeah, I think we're going to see fucking Irish Airborne wrestle. And I was telling my buddy Mike, I was like, yo, like, I think that this is what's going to happen. He's like, do you think so? And I was like, yo, I have a funny feeling. So they fucking, you know, Dave Crist comes out first. I'm like, I think I kind of fucking knew this. Fucking started seeing them fucking wrestle. I'm like, damn, like, what the fuck? Like, why the fuck did they wait so goddamn long to bring Dave in as a fucking wrestler? Like, he's fucking awesome. Like,
yes, he is.
Like, he does some fucking impressive shit out there.
Yeah, definitely. Stan apparently, like, after he said his PC dropped out after that first comment, so I'd like to get Stan back any second now, for Christ's sakes. I guess we'll see what goes on with that. I don't know why he dropped off. Call right back up, Stan. See what goes on there, because, yeah, we got to go over this whole thing, but man, yeah, like I said, I'll just reiterate real quick because tremendous match, and dude, Dave Crist, Jake Crist, two of the best fucking, you know, great independent wrestlers. They can go with anybody. I mean, you know, you could definitely see those in there with anybody. I mean, Sammy went one-on-one with Jake Crist and just phenomenal match, like tremendous fucking Sammy Callahan versus Jake Crist match. Dave Crist, I mean, these guys have been tearing it up all over the fucking indies, like I said.
What show did that Sammy Jake Crist match happen?
Can't say for sure that I know. I forget. A couple months back though, and it was kind of random. I think it was definitely before he won the Wire title, and went one on one with Sammy. And yeah, he was used as like a hired gun through DJ, and he was supposed to go in and take out Sammy and this and that, and that was his thing. And then from there, like, he broke off of DJ, and DJ took him out after Sammy beat him and that whole thing. So they did that. Can't remember exactly when that was. Month-wise. Don't know. As well as I don't know where the fuck Stan went. I think Juan might have fucking...
Yeah, I don't know where Juan went either.
Yeah, Juan's been on and off and disappearing and fucking like creeping around like a ninja all night. So
I
don't know what
he probably doesn't want his wife to see that he's in the Yakuza Kick chat room, you know, acting up and shit like that. So when the wife comes in the room, he probably has to like hit like the panic button or something. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah,
having internet problems.
Huh. Crazy, dude. I don't know where Stan went. So anyway, next matchup was the tables match, which was 3-on-3. You had the Blackout of Ruckus, Alex Colon, our guest tonight, and Chrissy Rivera with Robbie Marino, taking on and defeating the Runaways of Joe Gacy, Ryan Slater, and Kimberly.
Tremendous match. I thought it was really good. Like I had mentioned with Alex, the girls just tore shit up. You know, the other dude did exactly what you would expect him to do. Kimberly took a Falcon Arrow off the fucking ring apron through a table from Ruckus. You know, I really liked what those, you know, they put out there. They trained hard. They did what they did. I was a fan of it. I think we got Stan back. Stan, you back?
Yeah, sorry about that. I had a little phone glitch. Seems to happen on this show a little bit. It completely died on me.
Glad to keep the gig right here.
Yeah, I apologize.
You really didn't miss much. We were talking about the tables match that came up next. 3-on-3 intergender tables match. What was your thoughts?
Solid contest. Very, very, very impressed by Kimberly. Thought she had great match. Took some incredible bumps. One of the few misses of the night was in this match. Yeah, that and that power bomb where she was sitting in the corner and had the had one of her own teammates land on her. I honestly don't remember which guy it was. I thought that was a great bump too. One of the few misses of the night was when Slater went for a springboard moonsault and just missed the ropes. what I liked is he knew it, he owned it, and he played it off great. You know, he didn't act like it didn't happen. He didn't act like anything. He played into it and played it real well.
Definitely. What do you think about the match, Eric?
Off the bat, I want to give huge props to Chrissy and Kimberly for fucking busting their asses and shit like that in this match, because they took some fucking impressive shit. I've seen Chrissy wrestle like before on other small indie shows, and I mean, it wasn't what she did in this show. In this match, it was normal stuff, and seeing her take for them both to fucking take the stuff that they were taking, it was fucking good. Like I said, the key component to that match is that, after the match with Ruckus and Colon, Azrael and Bandito were in commentary, pointing over to Azrael and Bandito and saying, "We want those straps." So, something that they could build to.
Definitely, yeah. They're probably get some tag title shots and all that. So, pretty big stuff. Next matchup was fucking shoot me in the face. Fucking number one contender to the CZW World Heavyweight title for February 11th, 13th anniversary show. Drew Gulak beat Ryan McBride, Derek Frazier, Dustin Reyes, 13, Alex Payne, all people who don't deserve a title shot. Drew Gulak played classic heel form and stayed out of the way and let the other guys fight and slipped in for the victory in the end. That's all fine. That worked all completely well if there wasn't a world title hanging above it, because that's ridiculous. Something that completely just eclipsed everything that even could have happened in this match, Dustin Reyes broke his femur. And that's a shame. That's a super talented, super fucking nice dude, and that's really a shame. A match that really was just a horrible booking, in my opinion. And then he does a dive to the outside on a freak accident,
he breaks his femur, and he just had surgery. The day after Kate's death, he went in and had fucking surgery. And God knows, how that's going to go from here on out. But I wish him the best. Indie wrestling is something that people do not have medical insurance. They're not taken care of, under some kind of huge bankroll or anything like that. So this falls on the heads of the wrestlers. If something freak happens, it's pretty much on you. CZW's been pretty good in helping the guys out and stuff like that. But I know Dustin Rays is definitely in need of some help. So, if you look him up on Facebook and, even just give him a shout out, and give him some well wishes, I'm sure he'd appreciate it. Because, man, that's a young guy, fucking super talented, and fuck, man, break your femur. That's some serious shit. So, what was your thoughts, guys?
I'll start, Eric. To me, like you said, the guy that should have won the match was the guy that broke his leg, that Dustin Rays. He was the shining star of the match up until that point. The rest of it was just a mess to follow. The ref was fired. It was all over the place, not sold well. The ref gets fired, and then, 15 minutes later, he's sitting like 20 seats away from me across from the entrance. I don't know if the place is, it's not a 30,000 seat arena that you can hide the guy. Drew Gulak, like Jay said, pulled that old gimmick of let me just hang out in the corner and I'm going to steal the victory. I wasn't a big fan of this match overall. Like I said, dude that broke his leg put it all out there, and he kept the match entertaining and he kept the match watchable. Then when he left, it just got ugly, and I started watching that guy with the signs.
Yeah, man. Eric?
I thought that match was fucking horrendous, and it was because of one person. That's fucking Alex Payne. He's the fucking worst.
He's fucking terrible.
He is the shit.
He really is terrible. I can't blame the whole match on him, but he is fucking horrible. I think
he has something
disability.
Wrong with him. He keeps making fucking noises.
Yeah, he does that Ultimate Warrior thing. And Stan, you're a guy who knows the Ultimate Warrior's fucking work and stuff like that. Does this 125-pound guy look like he needs to be making snorting noises in a promo?
No, not at all. No.
I didn't think so.
The unfortunate part is, and I got to be honest, with this being my first show, the rest of them in the match were so horrible that I have no idea who this guy really is, Alex Payne. They were all just pretty much horrible in that, unfortunately.
Honestly, they're not horrible wrestlers. It was just that bad of a booking that it went that bad. The one person I would say is pretty horrible in the match was Alex Payne, but all of it just came off as a clusterfuck because it was such a horrible booking. And, I've seen great matches out of every other person on that card other than that dude. And, Drew Gulak, he's really, classic heel, fucking super douchebag. If you ever look at the promos that they have out there right now, he's doing the whole, presidential campaign thing. Drew Gulak for a better CZW and this and that. He's dressed in a suit and the whole thing. And he pulls off what he's doing. But when you put that world title picture above it, it takes away from it because everybody knows that he never even got the push to get to that status, to get to that level where that's where he should be right now. It's just, it was forced. It's completely forced. No build, no gradual, no nothing. You got guys losing one title, losing, and then just immediately going for the highest title in the company, and no segue, no nothing, nothing that actually leads to it or, gradually builds or it's just fucking crazy. They had him going, head to head with fucking Danny Havoc, who's one of the top deathmatch wrestlers in the business. They capped that feud off more or less with, they're going to segue in it with Devin and all that, but you got one of the top deathmatch wrestlers in the company, and then you got Drew Gulak, who's a technical wrestler, douchebag, heel type guy. So they capped that off with a fucking a tag match last month, and then they had the biggest show of the year, and they just put him in a big-ass match and even though he just lost last month in his feud, now he's got a shot to get the title. And now he wins that. So
he didn't do anything in the match. And the fucking match was,
yeah, it just didn't make any goddamn sense. So.
And Alex Payton was in the fucking match. The match might have been 10 minutes. He was in the match for like 7 or 8 minutes. He was in the fucking match fucking too long.
Oh, I mean, the part of him not being part of the match that much made sense because he was supposed to be just like the douche that avoided trouble, you know?
No, I was talking about Alex Payton.
Oh, Alex Payton.
Fucking match,
he got quite the ovation from the crowd of, what a big douchebag he is and how bad he sucks. I thought that was pretty cool. But anyway, next matchup, we had the much-talked-about match that was Drake Younger defeating Rory Mondo in a Four Corners of Pain match. And Rory will be our guest next week, and we'll get his thoughts on that. But holy fucking shit. Drake stated he was going to beat the shit out of Rory, and he did just that. And Rory took every fucking bit of that like a champ. And, really didn't expect it to go that angle where Rory actually, just fought through everything he got and ended up, shit, man. The power bomb he took on the fucking garbage can.
I don't know
that many people in the fucking business that'll take that shit. Hardcore death match or not. That was fucked up, man. I was like, holy shit. Garbage can standing upside down like the fucking garbage man just picked up the bottles and cans and flipped it so the rain didn't get in it. And a guy taking a fucking power bomb off the fucking ropes to fucking just the middle of his back. Like, holy shit, that was fucking crazy. And, the normal, the water jug spots, the fucking, they had Kenzins in the match. They had just everything you would ask for. And fucking Rory took bumps to the outside, everything else. And, yeah, Drake put it on him, and he took every bit of it, man. I was so fucking proud of that dude for what he did. I knew Rory since he was fucking like 12, 13 years old. And, to just see that shit, it was just like, whoa, that was fucking crazy. So, what do you think, Stan?
You took a little bit of the words right out of my mouth with basically, holy shit is all I can say with this one. Mondo took an ass kicking. Drake provided it. Nothing but excitement during this match. I mean, it started, I don't even know if the bell rung and Mondo went through a table or plywood or whatever that was with barbed wire on top of it.
Of course.
I mean, that's how it started. This match stole the show. I can watch hours of this guy Drake in the ring. I thought he was fantastic. The trash can work, I mean, again, not watching this CZW all the time, I seen the trash can come out. I said, oh, okay, they're going to hit him with the side of the trash can like normal, no big deal. And then
Right. Basically,
holy shit, he just took a power bomb on the top of it and it didn't even dent. And then they used it upside down, hitting him with the bottom of it and knocking those things into Drake's head. It was just a fantastic match. And it wasn't just all gore, there was wrestling going on in between all the just brutality and beating that Mondo basically took, and Drake took a little bit himself. I thought this match stole the show. I thought it was just a fantastic match. It was almost just the perfect match. It was just long enough. It didn't leave you wanting more, but at the same time, they ended it at the perfect time. It was just a match of the night.
Yeah, definitely. And I just took the Kenzin out of my drawer as we were talking because I got a Kenzin from the match. And I'm telling you, you can't say enough about these fucking things, man. These fucking things weigh like a pound, and they go in fucking deep into people's heads. And Drake took them once again, and thankfully for him, he was able to get it out because most of these things, they are lodged into the guy's skull where they need, like, fucking vice grips to get him out and, like, a lot of strength and wiggling and tweaking back and forth and just crazy shit, man. I can't imagine one of these things being buried into your skull. That's just insane. And Drake kind of rolls with it like it's just, you know, another day at the office. Holy shit. What do you think, Eric?
I'm gonna ask a question. I mean, you guys are both ECW fans, and, you know.
Right.
Watching the Cage of Death, you know, watching these, you know, that match and the fucking Tremont match, you know, which we'll get to later.
Right.
At any point during this show, did you feel that, wow, ECW would have a hard time fucking topping this?
Oh, fucking bar none. CCW has taken it to such a higher fucking level. You know, they obviously got a lot from ECW and learned, like, you know, okay, well, shit, they took it there. Where can we go? Where can we go further? We could, you know, obviously ECW was the foundation for a lot of what CCW does. But a lot of what ECW did was shocking to the fans. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe they went there. Well, you can't shock the fans with the same exact thing. So CCW continually turned it up a notch. And, of course, being turning it up a notch, they've definitely outdone ECW, in my opinion. What do you think, Sam?
I think you're exactly right in what you're saying. It's the old athlete, faster, stronger, smarter. It goes right into that. Back in 1960, your running backs of today's NFL were your linemen. Now, you know, you just keep getting bigger and better, and that's basically what's going on here. CZW, the foundation from ECW is what CZW is based off of. You could see that.
Right.
You could see that with the way they interact with the fans, with the way they put on the whole show. You could see traces of the old ECW in there.
Of course.
But they've taken it to the next level, and they've just expanded on what they do and what they did. CZW house, or ECW house shows back in the day, which I went to, you know, quite a few of them. You've seen more than what they did put on that TV show that everybody talked about, or even the pay-per-views, but they didn't come anywhere close to what happened that night. You know, they were taking the crazy power bombs into the third row. You had even the Rob Van Dam jumping into the third row, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But what CZW did is a lot of the ECW guys weren't good wrestlers. Your Balls Mahoney's, Axel Rotten's, these guys couldn't do a technical move to save their lives. Sandman, but they could just get beat up. Now CZW has guys that can actually wrestle and put the violence into it, which is just amazing. And it's just brought it to another level. It's definitely brought it to another level.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with that completely. Next up, you had the Big Japan Freedoms DDT K-Dojo Big 10-Man joint. And you had Ryuji Ito, Sasaki Takashi. I just put extra N's in there for no reason to be Eric. you know, you had Mishimo Kengo. You had Dan Shoko Dino, Kudo.
Jay's
defeating
favorite.
What?
Dan Shoko Dino, Jay's favorite.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Defeating Jun Kasai, Jackie Numazawa, Yoshihito Sasaki, Kamui, and Masahiro Takanashi. Yeah, I brought the Takanashi out earlier when it was just Takashi the first time. You know, what can I do? Tremendous amount of talent in one ring. This honestly could have been this was more or less the first show packed into one match without the CZW guys mixed in, and a pretty good showing. I thought it was pretty good. There could have been a lot more done. It was just so much. It was kind of like an overload of talent. Everybody couldn't get their shit off at once, and it was just kind of it did what it could. I was glad to see these guys on the card. I would have much rather see Jun Kasai in the fucking Cage of Death. But, you know, I mean, shit, what can you do? I would say the same for Sasaki too, but, you know, I don't buck the fuck to go, so what do you think?
I thought it was all right.
Oh.
I mean, it was, like you said, it was kind of an overload in talent.
Yeah.
But,
you know, other than that, it was cool to see these guys fucking CZW, you know, on a CZW Cage of Death show. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you're gonna sell a bunch of DVDs, I'm you know, don't down me on that one. So it's a good thing for CZW.
Right. So, what do you think?
All right, well, there was way too much fag in this match for me. The match had a ton of people.
Hey, that's quality fag right there.
Yeah, well, you're loving that ass that sat in the corner for about 10 minutes.
Not so much.
The match, look, it had a lot of good wrestlers. You could see that. And like you said, it was hard for them to get everything they wanted to do into it, especially getting 1/4 of the ring cut off because of some dude's ass hanging out the entire
right.
time. So they kept playing into, no, I don't want to go into that turnbuckle. No, I don't want to go into that turnbuckle. At one point, before he got stuck up on the top rope there and before the broomstick going in his ass and that whole nonsense, there was a part where they were all just coming up with their flying attacks, which was fantastic. You know, just like any Lucha Libre Japanese match with that many people, who knows who's the legal man? Who knows what's going on? At
right.
some points, I didn't even know who was on whose team, but they were just pulling off move after move, and that was fun to watch. This Dan Shokudino.
Japanese was Stan.
Yeah, sorry, I butchered that one. But the fag, I'm not a big fan of. You know, I get the gimmick and everything like that, but just he laid
yeah,
in the
like
corner
him.
With his ass hanging out the whole time.
Yeah, like
I don't know. It was just a little too much for me.
If you've seen all the gay gimmicks I've seen through this past fucking 10 years in indie wrestling, I think you would fucking you would like it. Because like I said, like he's the fucking court case gay. He's not just fucking gay and it's cool and like acceptably gay. He's like fucking perv, like gonna go to jail gay. Like,
well, the match started out with him chasing some guy with a something in his mouth. I didn't even know what was going on there.
That was some other shit that they built up, and it was kind of ridiculous. I don't even want to get into that. That was just a horrible booking. Again, just really, really bad idea. And they built it up, and it still didn't get over. And of course, it would never get over because now.
And the fans are chained. We don't care.
Right. And, you know, just whatever. But I don't know. He does his gimmick really fucking well for what that gimmick is and how little tolerance I have for that type of gimmick. He fucking actually had me fucking laughing my ass off, and I'm like, this works, actually. And I've really never said that. It's whatever. So coming off of that, we had Philly's Most Wanted getting their wish and getting Homicide and Eddie Kingston. Because, you know, they've been calling out wrestlers from Homicide, Eddie Kingston, Low-Key, Ricky Reyes, blah, 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 blah. And they got Homicide and Eddie Kingston this month. And it went to a no contest because they attacked the staff, the refs, the whole nine. And, I mean, I thought it was a good match. I'm a big, big fan of all four of these guys, quite honestly. And Homicide and Eddie are guys who aren't there every month, but I'm always happy to see. And, I had quite fucking awesome conversation with those guys in the back. Like, fucking, you know, tons of fucking, you know, just great fucking conversation that I wouldn't repeat because it was all just off-the-cuff shit. It was great stuff. I mean, these are some of those guys that, like, if you're cool with, like, they make you fucking feel like, you know, you're home and shit. Like, this is indie wrestling. This is what it all is. And they went out there, bust their ass. And I like the match quite a bit. You know, obviously, it's a little bit of a build when you go to attacking the staff and this and that. They're going to find another way and angle to work it. So, but I liked it. What did you think, Stan?
I know I spoke to you after the event that night. We briefly talked. This one I just think was in a bad spot for them, coming off the Drake Mondo match and then right into the Japanese guys, you know, flying all over the place. to go into this match, I think, was just a tough spot for them. It made it a little bit difficult to watch for me, just because there was so much going on before their match that this one didn't quite have a chance, just in the spot that they had.
Right.
So the build-up for the hot tag to Kingston was just ridiculously long, in my opinion.
Right.
You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming, and it just took too long to do it. When it did happen, it took so long that it kind of beat itself. It didn't even have the pop that it was supposed to have, I think, because everybody sitting there was like, okay, finally, you know. And then, again, with them attacking the staff, the refs, Big Lou from the back came out, Tiny Tim, everybody was in the ring at one point. I don't know what was going on, and you know, they're still trying to get at each other, and, you know, that whole thing, it was just a little much, and like I said, just in a bad spot. I think if that match was either ahead of the Drake match or one match behind it with a singles match there, I think it would have played a lot better. I think a tag match right after all that action was a very, very tough sell. I think all four wrestlers are solid wrestlers. I don't think
right.
they did anything wrong. I just think where it was a tough, tough spot. In the show.
Oh, I agree, and I would argue that if anything was done wrong on this Cage of Death card, it was match placement, because honestly, like, Dave and Jake Chris was good enough to be far ahead in the card, and especially being a title match. I know it's the Wire TV title match, and it's usually kind of a low card title, which I think is like a bad move altogether to make a title and make it a low card. You know what I mean? Like, if it has some prestige, for Christ's sake. So, you know, I don't fully agree with that. And honestly, you know, that should have been higher. The Drake-Rory match had enough build and enough energy behind it to be higher. I surely did not agree with the fucking DJ Greg fucking nonsense to be fucking semi-main event. That's fucking retarded. But, you know, I don't know. Like I said, the match wasn't that bad, but what do you think, Eric?
Honestly, like, I felt like I was enjoying it, and then the whole nonsense happened, and I'm like, fucking build bullshit. Like, that build fucking shit. Like, I know, like, last year we always talk about builds, like, those build shows, and fucking, you know, I could definitely see them fucking having another match in fucking January.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll see. Well, we will see.
Well, this question might completely butcher the show for a minute here, but, dude, Eric, do you have the time on this match? Because this one just seemed like it was one of the longest matches of the night.
Yeah, I don't have the time exactly, but I do remember watching it and going, what the fuck? Like, and it was just, it just felt like, how the fuck do I say it? Like, it just felt like it was dragging too long. And, I mean, I don't want to sound like an asshole or anything like that, but it just seemed like...
It's okay.
It just didn't seem like, you know, because they build it up and they're like, oh, fucking hard hitting. We're looking for fucking guys to tear it up with. And it just didn't feel like it was what it should have been. You know what I mean? Like, when you're cutting
right.
promos saying, we want the hardest hitters. We want fucking Loki. We want Homicide. Like, you're fucking thinking, oh, boy, they're going to fucking fight with these guys. You know what I mean? You're going to fucking see a war. And it's like... I didn't think it delivered like at this show. Maybe, you know, the booking of it, you know, was maybe a problem. You know, maybe it wasn't booked right, but I don't know. I had a weird vibe off that match watching that.
And like I said, I'm not knocking any of the four guys in the ring. They all can bring it. They all can do their thing. That's not what I'm trying to do. I just think as a fan sitting there watching it, that, like I said, bad spot in the card, and just you know, with what they were trying to build to, the Eddie pop, the whole, you know, staff and everybody else getting beat up, you have to build to all that, and I understand that. It just seemed like the build was just ridiculously long to get to where they needed to, and they could have cut the match in half and still had all that happen. That's just my outlook on watching it.
And I think if I'm not mistaken, Jay, I might be mistaken, I think that was in the middle of the Drake and Rory, and also, was it Tremont and Havoc after that, or before?
No. Next up was actually we can go right into that, is CZW Junior Heavyweight Champion Sami Callihan defending and retaining his title for the second time that day against a tremendous fucking athlete in AR Fox. And, there's not enough that you could say about these two guys. Fucking AR Fox is, like, I think, like, 24 years old or some shit like that. Sammy's about the same. I mean, these fucking guys are young, hungry, and the future of the business. I mean, Sammy can do it all. Fucking AR Fox is just one of the best high flyers you're going to see out there. He's what Rob Van Dam was at his prime plus some. You know, and I don't know, man. I just got a lot of fucking good feelings about these guys. And, you know, this match I thought was really good. And, yeah, they tore it up.
I agree.
Definitely. What do you think, Stan?
I think if anybody on this card coming up in the near future you're gonna see on a big show or on a TV show, these two are the guys, both of them. I don't know, maybe you'll disagree, but that A.R. Fox, he reminded me of like a very young Edge type wrestler, same body style, same.
Jesus Christ, kill me.
I like the Van Damme comparison, though. I do like the Van Damme comparison.
Yeah. That whole the lean body style, the smoothness in the ring. He pulled the move off in the corner. Like I said, I don't even know what it was. It was just so smooth. There was just complete arms, legs, body movement that was just perfect in the corner.
He's crisp, man.
Yeah, and Sami Callihan, you know, just fantastic. His gimmick, I like the gimmick. I like the whole that he looks like that punk rock kid that everybody knows, that you just the way he walks to go pick up the guy, the way he moves to the ring, he definitely sells the gimmick. It definitely works. You know, he's sitting there shooting snot out of his nose halfway through the match for, you know, the whole thing works. I thought it was a fantastic match. I apologize for the Edge reference there or comparison.
That's horrific.
Apparently,
dude,
that didn't go over well, but
no.
I think
he doesn't
think
look
AR
like
Fox,
Beavis. He doesn't look like Beavis. He doesn't do a running
no.
hug. I mean, for Christ's sake, what does he have to do with fucking
a running hug? That's funny.
Listen, I've seen Edge do some good things in ladder matches and other stuff.
Well,
and I, you know,
apparently I missed those tough moments.
Yeah,
you talking about the ladder matches with fucking Jeff Hardy was fucking, you know, all gimmicked up and fucking made shit work. I don't know.
But AR Fox and Sami Callihan was just a fantastic match. Another one that when they first came out to the ring, I honestly wasn't expecting what I seen. Just. You know, looking at it, I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be solid, but that match was just fantastic. Both guys, Callihan hits hard as hell. You know, he's super stiff with every move.
Yeah, he is.
AR Fox, you know, took everything and gave it back, and it was just a good back-and-forth match, good offense, great moves in there, and couldn't ask for a better total match. That one had everything.
Yeah. Anything to add to that, Eric?
Not just that it was very, you know, Callihan proved once again that he's the fucking, you know, he's no fucking joke. You know what I'm saying? No fucking joke. You know, having to fucking wrestle Sasaki in the fucking, you know, in the afternoon and then wrestling fucking, you know, fucking high flyer in the fucking evening and then fucking, you know, pulling it, you know, pulling double duty is fucking, is not easy. You know what I mean? You know, for anybody to do. You know what I'm saying? But Sammy did it, and did it fucking great, so, nice. Props to him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a fucking warrior, man, and it's great to
not
see
the ultimate him. Warrior, but he's a warrior.
You don't need to be the ultimate warrior anymore. You know, even though your passion is fucking passion, you don't need to do that all the time. You usually fucking lean back off of that. But anyway, next matchup was ultra-violent thumbtack pit bed of nails death match. Matt Tremont defeating Danny Havoc due to interference by Drew Gulak and Mr. Tofiga. Fuck that man, that spot where his fucking foot got into the fucking nails, man. Crazy fucking match. Matt Tremont is one of the parts of the future of deathmatch wrestling. Danny Havoc has been a huge staple in deathmatch wrestling for years. And, we played, the promo that, Matt did last week leading into it. You knew that this dude was hungry. He was willing to do anything. He was going to go out there. He was going to fucking kill himself if it meant, making a mark on Cage's death, something. He was sitting in the crowd like the rest of us and just loving this company, the shit that was going on, and just wanting to be a part of it more than anything. And being on the stage of Cage of Death and going out there in a fucking gimmick match against Danny Havoc, man, he put it all out there. And he actually went to the doctor a couple days ago to get his foot checked out because he had fucking nail holes in it. And his fucking foot was legitimately stuck into fucking nails, like an inch into fucking nails. Like, holy fuck. Ah, Jesus. And just talked to him after the show, and he's just like, yeah, man, good. I'm good. You like it? You liked it? Okay, good. Yeah, great. Okay, cool, man. Cool. I'm glad you liked it, man. Awesome. Like, he's just such a humble, fucking unbelievably cool fucking dude. He's a fucking animal in the ring. He'll take any fucking thing anybody wants to throw at him as far as hardcore or whatever. And you talk to him after the show, he's like, he's fucking seeking approval, and he's just like super fucking happy that you even enjoyed fucking looking at his match. And like, he's fucking killing himself out there. It's tremendous, dude. I can't say enough good about fucking Matt Tremont. He's fucking awesome. But, and Danny's not half bad neither. Spent a good amount of time drinking with him, too. So, what do you guys think?
Well, like you said, the Matt Tremont, the guy just looks like he's built for deathmatch wrestling. He you could see it in the ring that he's just loving every second of it. He's begging the crowd to chant Bulldozer and the chant. He just, you could tell he loves the business and he loves what he's doing out there, and that's great to see. Danny Havoc, same thing. He took all these incredible just falls and bumps and everything else onto shit that I don't even want to step on a thumbtack in my room, nevertheless get thrown onto it from, second rope. He had his head smashed into the thumbtacks and came up with, 8-12 of them in his head. That was just like, now here's where I do vary. I am a little different. I'm not a big fan of the bed of nails. I really am not.
It's honestly not a regular thing. It was more of a shock value thing, and it sure as hell fucking brought that to the table.
Yeah, well,
I honestly think that was the only time bed of nails was ever used in CCW.
Yes.
Okay.
Ever.
It's a little too much for me. I've seen it used on TV. I never seen it used live. It was one of those things where I had that feeling of, I want these guys to walk out of this okay, in that just watching it, and I'm like, there's just too much that can go wrong with that, and just my opinion on it. I know they're signing up to do it. I know they want to do it and everything like that. That's a little over the top for me just because of what can happen, and you've seen it happen with his foot, Luckily, it was his foot and not another part of his body. Just a little too much for me. I think the match was fantastic. I really like Matt Tremont, and I think he's just, like I said, just loving what he's doing. And I enjoyed watching him, and I enjoyed watching his match. And just very happy that he went over as well as he did.
Yeah, Nina's asked me if Tremont came in as a heel originally. No, he didn't come in as a heel.
I think he kind of did.
didn't he come in like kind of like with DJ to like take out Pinky Sanchez?
Yeah, like that was like the original match, and then immediately after that, like they put him in tournament death, but like they never segued. He was just in there fucking hungry, and he never like really like conformed to what DJ was about. Like within one show, he was like, "Fuck you, give me some more shit. That's all you got for me. Give me some more. Fuck you, DJ. Fuck you." Like he was on some fuck you shit within two shows. So I can't say that he came in there as a heel because DJ was a heel. So when he got on some like fuck you boss shit, that's a face thing, honestly, in CZW because DJ's a heel. So, but yeah, I don't know, man. Just tremendous guy, tremendous fucking outing. I'm glad his fucking foot's okay because fuck, man, that's crazy shit.
Well, somebody said on this show, and I don't know who said it. I want to, you know, kind of figure out who said it, but somebody said last week that Matt Tremont is like Bam Bam Bigelow meets Eddie Kingston.
I was actually going to mention that, and toward like promo wise, that's how they reference it, that promo wise.
Okay.
And I couldn't remember the other name. I remember Bam Bam Bigelow, and I was like, who was the other name they used? And no, that is the best fucking comparison I've ever fucking heard, and it might have been that Not Jigsaw guy. I'm not sure, but, dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's Not Jigsaw. Yeah, yeah.
That is an awesome fucking comparison. You listen to his fucking promos, and it's fucking Bam Bam Bigelow mixed with Eddie Kingston, and holy shit, that is accurate. And that's talent. That's fucking awesome. You know, both of those guys, fucking intense, fucking super fucking dudes. And Eddie Kingston cuts a phenomenal promo, and, you know, Bam Bam was all fired up all the time, and, you know, he has a size like Bam Bam. Well, not size like Bam Bam,
but that's pretty funny.
Huh?
I said, I don't know if you meant the fired up thing, but that made me laugh.
Yeah, with the head. You know. But I just, great comparison. Anyway, next match was, Greg Excellent and DJ Hyde come out, and I go, well, it's time for intermission. So I go to the parking lot. I go to the parking lot, and I see Brett in the back. For those who don't know, Brett Lauderdale, he's one of the main reps, and I know him personally, and he takes 3 months to pay $20 debt. But he, you know, he's like, what are you doing out here? I'm like, fucking going to get a beer. And he's like, well, Zandig is about to run out. And I'm like, and walked by and went to go get a beer. So, and fucking no longer did I go fucking anywhere near halfway through that beer. And my first sip or two, I fucking see, and Zandig's getting back in his truck and driving away. So, Zandig ran in. He pulled up full progression on turn of events. Zandig pulled up, ran in the ring, walked back out, got back in his truck, and drove home. So I know a lot of people are jumping around with this fucking, oh my God, fucking John Zandig's back, and like you're out of your stupid Mark skull. Because the thing is, listen, man, I'm as big of a John Zandig fan as anybody. John Zandig fucking made CZW. He fucking was the owner of CZW. He's the one who created this shit. He sold the shit to DJ, but before that, he was the reason why CZW existed. He laid the foundation. He was the fucking founding father of CZW. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. However, get it through your head, people. Are you drop-kicking your phone again? John Zandig wants nothing to do with wrestling. Okay. And Eric wins by disqualification. So, the fact is, and I'm not going to put names out there or anything like that. Can you stop doing that? So, what it is, the original plan was, believe it or not, a run-in by Roddy Piper. And I have inside sources that was the original plan. It really was. I'm not making a joke. That was the original plan. It cost a bunch of money. Whatever happened, I don't know. It fell through. Back up. You're laughing. I'm dead fucking serious. Dead serious. And backup plan was fucking beg Zandig to come in because everyone will pop for that. And that's what they did. And it was very obvious he didn't want to fucking be there because he spent all of 20 minutes there. He didn't say, hey, well, let me at least fucking the next match is Cage of Death, something that I fucking created and really prided myself on every year and being over the top and just going. I mean, Zandig was so into this fucking company. It was fucking unreal. And when he sold it, he got out of it. You know, he lost his son. A lot of shit happened within the fucking year of him selling it and all of that stuff. You know, Trent dying, fucking, he lost his son. Just so much went on in John Zandig's life. And I don't blame him for, you know, the change in his feelings about the company. But in the same token, listen, he did not want to be there. He does not want to be there. Let's just do the fucking math and stop being fucking marks and just be like, oh, he came out and did a clothesline. Like, shut up. Just shut the fuck up. DJ and fucking Greg don't belong anywhere near the fucking main event. No matter how much DJ wants to make that shit fucking viable, you know, no matter how much you want to fucking book, you know, an over $1,000 booking for a run-in that didn't work and then ended up booking Zandig and stuff like that. That's the bottom fucking line with that. And I don't give a fuck that I missed that. And I really, really sincerely don't. So what? Zandig could have fucking missed that. Like, I don't think he gave a shit about that shit. So, it's whatever. What do you think, Eric?
About the match or about the whole Zandig thing?
Yeah, whatever, motherfucker. I was in the parking lot.
Well, like I said, the match was there. And, Gregson's mom came out, Kylie Pierce came out, Mia Yim fucking tried to, you know, come out and do some stuff, and it was a fucking running fiasco match. That's what I call it. A running fiasco match. Because it was a fucking bunch of run-ins, and it was a fucking fiasco.
I was running to the car at the time.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit. So what do you think, Stan?
All right, so, and Jay, you know that I always like doing this. I'll play devil's advocate on this whole thing.
That's cool. Love it.
Look, I get where you're going with so you didn't give a fuck, and I get where Eric's going because it was a fiasco of just people running in, and Hulk Hogan's music played for a little bit, and some fat guy named Greg ran around in Captain America underwears. There was a lot going on. Listen, I'm not the one saying I love the fag wrestler, so I don't know if he was cute
or
not. But
I don't know what Dan Ciocodino has to do with fucking Greg Eklund. It's a completely different thing. Go ahead.
But, you know, like I said, I enjoyed Hulk Hogan's music playing. I can get down to Real American at any time, but I don't need a 350-pound man in his Captain America draws hulking
Greg
out.
Greg would love that weight comparison.
Oh, yeah? Hulking
yeah,
out in the middle of the ring.
You'd highly enjoy that.
350
pounds. Awesome.
The best move of the night was Greg's leg drop, not of the night, of this match, was Greg's leg drop.
I was about to say, please don't fucking dump
no,
your
no,
pants.
No.
I meant the match. Lot.
It was the only move that actually looked like it was decently done. But this match kind of did serve a purpose. There was, again, so much
yeah, fucking
going
intermission
on
earlier.
After the match, Fremont and the whole foot going through the friggin' nails and everything, you kind of needed a break from the death match thing before Cage of Death. So it served its purpose. It was one of these old school, you know, it reminded me of 1980s wrestling going on. It really did. You know, mom came out, and I'm going to hit my son with the chair. I'm going to do it. Oh, no, I hit the other guy. You know, that whole thing.
Well,
to
yeah,
me,
months
it kind
back,
of worked in the real way.
Months back, Greg hit his mom with a Tiger Driver. So, you
oh,
know.
Okay.
It's just,
okay.
Like, randomly, like, turned heel and was like, yeah, mom, just so sorry. But anyway, bam, fucking hit her with a Tiger Driver. It's like, oh, that was cute. You know.
I mean, it served its place in the match, in the card. It served its place. It did give you a little break from the deathmatch type stuff.
The good stuff.
Yeah, the good stuff. And it, you know, it had a little comedy to it and everything like
give
that.
Give you a little
so
break
me,
from quality wrestling.
So for me, it did work a little bit in where it was. Again, I don't think it should have been the co-main event, even though I wouldn't even call it a co-main event. I don't think it should have been all the way up there, but it worked in what it was trying to do. You know, I got a couple laughs out of the match, and you know, it was what it was. That's basically all there is to it, to that match.
Yeah. I mean, I could pretty much sum up, you know, those two guys being fucking semi-main event with, you know, pretty much this. But other than that, you know. Anything else to add?
No, that ended it.
Yeah. So anyway, main event is the fucking Cage of Death. And you had Devin Moore retain his title in a four-way against the returning Scotty Vortex, the returning Eagle Robert Anthony, and Masada, the Ultraviolent Underground Deathmatch Champion, might I add. And, fucking shit. Well, before I even fucking give my review on shit, man, Stan, first time ever seeing the construction of a Cage of Death, what was your thoughts on the look of this shit?
The cage was awesome. I've actually walked around. I didn't bring a camera with me, but I did have my handy dandy Samsung camera phone. So I took a couple pictures on that, and I have been showing people that I know at work and some friends that do follow wrestling. I was showing some of them the pictures, the contraption that they built, the Cage of Death itself was just an amazing construction of just violence. It really did have so many different things you were looking at, and you're like, oh wow, there's a platform there, wow, there's some barbed wire there, there's a lot of barbed wire there, there's some glass over there, there's even more glass over there. And I like the way the cage folded out. I don't know how you want to really call what that was. I like the way that was set up like that. It just, you could have done so much with that, and they used every piece of it. They used it all well. And,
oh, yeah.
I mean, that match had, again, it had wrestling. What I've been telling people when I was talking about this is, this wasn't just go in there and just see blood and see just people doing stupid shit just to bleed. There was actual wrestling going on throughout all of these death matches, and that was the part that really captivated me. That was the part that just really drew me to this, was it wasn't just let's see who's tougher and let me hit you with a frying pan wrapped in barbed wire that has a thumbtack on it. It was, you know, let's wrestle and by the way, have all these things that are going to fucking hurt. And I thought that was really, really what sold me on this and why I'll be going back to these things. Is it wasn't just a complete gore fest of watching people, you know, shank each other in the middle of the ring and saying it's a wrestling match.
Yeah, man, so many spots, so many different things. I mean, they had ladders hanging over the ring. One of the coolest fucking things that I thought they made there was those fucking cages, but they had big gaps in the middle with the fucking glass in the middle. It opened the opportunity for, and they fully used that, which I'll say in a second, but spots to the outside through a pane of glass. Like pretty much like putting somebody through a window onto the street, like, but the window is kind of like diagonal, so it helps you guide them to the road. Like, it fucking crazy. And my opinion, fucking best spot of the fucking match was the running powerbomb that fucking Ego put Scotty through to the outside, through the pane of glass, onto a table on the outside. That shit was fucking bananas. Like,
oh, yes.
Oh, man, I love that fucking spot. And this is what Cage of Death's all about. You know, for anyone who doesn't know, every single year, the Cage of Death is different. There's not an identical Cage of Death. They don't just build that shit every year. This is like, you never know what you're going to get until you fucking sit down after the intermission and you're like, oh, what the fuck? Oh, look what they did. And then you just get what the fuck they put out there. And shit, man, they put on a really, really innovative, really unbelievable, you know, big shout out to fucking Scrawny Shawnee. Definitely, he's a fucking architect. And
yeah.
Michael Pancoast, you know what I mean? He put it on, fucking DJ. The whole shit, I mean, the whole show came off fucking great. You had your ups and downs. Of course, I had my, you know, a few negative comments and this type of thing. But overall, that fucking show went down fucking solid. And, it, you know, you got to give fucking credit where credit is due. And I was a big fan. So, what do you think, Eric?
I thought the match was fucking bananas. Let me bring this whole thing up real quick and see what you guys think about it. What'd you guys think of the finish?
Hell fucking yeah!
Well, I mean, what do you mean about the finish? Devin dropping the belt and all of that shit. I mean, you know,
it seemed like that wasn't supposed to happen with like the fucking.
Of course, he wasn't supposed to drop the fucking belt. But either way, the match is fucking nuts. So you can't. I mean, I'm not about to put a negative spin on the match because he dropped the fucking belt. That, you know, obviously wasn't supposed to do that. But shit happens. Oh. But fucking, yeah, you know I mean.
Jay, I should have seen that night. I don't know if you remember me saying it because of excitement and because of the excitement that was going on and everything. Look, he dropped the belt. Everybody noticed it. Everybody, but nobody cared because it was such an amazing match that didn't really even matter. It really didn't matter in the end.
Absolutely.
It was just such a great match. It was like, all right, just go get your belt. You won. You know, look, nobody's looking for it to be everything being perfect and something like that. All four of them did something that I'd say 95% of the people sitting around the ring watching it were saying, I wouldn't do that shit. So you can't fault them for dropping the belt off of the roof. I mean, those skewer things and the guys in Robert Anthony's
the
head.
Skewers, yes.
You know, I actually went into my, my you know, spoon, knife, and fork drawer, whatever you call that thing, and I had those. And I wasn't about to put one into my head, but I did put it up to my head and tap it with a finger. And looked at my wife and said, fuck that.
I got to confess that I'm retarded, and I've done that several times after seeing Masada do it. Like, and it wasn't after this show. Masada's been doing that for a while, and I've definitely stuck several of them in my head. And it sucks. And I actually did it with ones that already were cooked with shrimp, so I had, like, burnt splinters in my fucking head for, like, a couple of days. Bad move.
Holy shit.
Do not try this at home. Do not try this at home. You're a retard. These are professionals. Cut it out. That was fun. Good times.
That was awesome to see. Again, it wasn't just about the gore. It was a cool little thing when he gave him a nice, you know, he gave him a punch and he snapped his head back and they didn't fall out. It was like, wow, they're in there.
Oh yeah. Fuck yeah.
Scotty,
I don't know about the package of those fucking things. That's man.
Yeah, Scotty Vortex, you know, got a good gash on the top of his head at the very beginning of the match. When he went into that spider web, the barbed wire. Again, every wrestler took a bump that I wouldn't take. Every single one of them. The glass was fantastic on the outside. The power bomb, like you said. Unfortunately, where I was, I didn't get a good view of it.
You'll have to watch it again on DVD. I'm sure you'll enjoy it quite a bit because there's always angles that you haven't seen and stuff, and you'll check it out. It'll be great. But did you get a chance to see my pictures, Dan?
Yeah, I did look through most of your pictures.
Cool.
Great shots.
Cool.
Great shots. I mean, there's the one with Masada getting slammed into that barbed wire over there. Great shots. And then the skewers in the dude's head. It's funny to look at, and you know it fucking hurts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought I got some decent joints, you know, Cage of Death, and I'm always happy to just keep trying and, you know,
I didn't check out the part two. I saw the part one.
That was only like another 10 pictures because Paul was like, yeah, fucking, you didn't even finish putting your shit up. And I'm like, no, I didn't. Fuck. Because they cut you off at 200 on an album. So I tried to upload all of them and they just cut you off and it's kind of random. They're just like, well, here's 200. It's not the last picture you took, but it's, you know, like, I don't know, man. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, tremendous show. So, I just kind of want to ask you about some names, Stan, because, this is the first time you've seen these people. And, yeah, you kind of touched on some of this, you know, as we went through and that. But still, just kind of want to, well, let's start from the presentation of the show. Larry Legend.
Well, first, Larry Legend. Yeah, Larry Legend's one of the finest ring announcers I've seen in my time watching wrestling. I hung on to every word. His eyes basically told the story of the match, and his movements provided the subplot for what I was about to say. Through him, basically I knew who the heel was, I knew who the face was, I knew what to key my focus on during the matches, all through him introducing the match. I honestly think the guy has tremendous talent. He was a huge part of the event without being overbearing. He really did. Like, when he walked into that cage of death and introduced it, and the look in his eye when he was looking at the ladders and his movements and his body language just really sold, holy shit, look at this. And, you know, again, I don't have a bad thing to say about him. And the juicy hot dogs were delicious to wrap my lips around.
See? And you shit on me for liking Dan Shogodino. No. Well, we all have our preference, I guess, you know. Yes, Stan likes the chocolate. Well, whatever. You know, in all honesty, all jokes aside, fucking Larry's a tremendous, tremendous fucking ring announcer. I really don't think that there's a better guy out there. Right now, like on the scene right now, obviously, you know, you get your legendary ones in the past, but I think Larry's the best out there that does it right now. And yeah, he has a tremendous fucking presence as a voice, as a, you know, influence on everything. And yeah, I would agree with you, man. He tells the fucking story about what's going to happen. Fucking love when he makes a tag team match in Extravaganza. He does that all the time. He looks around because he knows people loves it.
That and just the words he used and the way, I mean, I can't say enough good things about this guy, and he's the ring announcer. I mean, that would,
yeah.
Just everything he did was dead on. Was dead on in the ring. You know, great showmanship for him. Great, great showmanship.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Let me see. What's the next name on the deck? What's up, Eric?
No, the way you're like, let me see what's in there. You're like,
oh, well, okay. Drake Younger.
Drake Younger he reminded me of, and we keep going back to it. He,
if you say Edge, I'm going to fucking drive this fucking Jordan jersey tonight.
No, not a person. He reminded me of the guy that could have headlined an ECW event. He looked like that guy, but to the next level,
right?
Again. You know what I mean? Like, he was the classic, not deathmatch, but the classic hardcore extreme guy. You know, he's not a gym rat. You can tell that. You know,
right?
He's not gonna go in there and just give you this ridiculously technically sound match. But he's going to do everything well enough to pull anything off in the ring.
Right.
I thought he was just a fun guy to watch in this scene. I don't think I'm taking anything away because I think he's a hell of a wrestler and everything like that. I don't see him as a guy that's going to main event a TV show, but he's perfect for what he's doing here. And
right.
Again, that's not trying to pull anything on him or saying anything negative about him. He's just perfect for what this is. You know, he's that guy that on a Saturday night, you go into a bar and you get into a fight, and if you pick him, you just pick the wrong fucking guy. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter who you are. You know?
But he's also a guy that, if you lost your fucking shirt in a fight and shit, he'd probably fucking give you his. That's the type of guy he is. It's crazy shit with him. He's a great balance of a fucking phenomenal dude and a guy you don't want to fuck with. And he's a great friend of mine. But Drake actually, you know, Stan, you're not, you know, you don't know a lot of history about this, but, you know, short time ago, within, you know, probably about a year ago, he was the longest running CZW World Heavyweight Champion ever.
Okay.
And he held it for like 2 years. And
it makes sense.
He actually fucking main evented more shows in the ECW arena than anybody in the history of that building. Like,
it makes sense. He's perfect. Like I said, he's perfect for this atmosphere. Perfect for it.
Yeah, he sure is. Well, I mean, you didn't get the full fucking experience of that, but Jun Kasai.
You know, I really didn't get the full experience of him because of the match that he was in.
Right.
You say how great he is with the deathmatch thing, and that obviously wasn't a deathmatch. That was, you know, a 10-man free-for-all.
Yeah.
What was interesting with that was I was looking for him because you did talk so highly of him. So
yeah.
When I was looking at what he was doing, the guy could actually wrestle. Eric, you're right over there, man?
Yeah, I'm moving the fucking chair. I'm sitting in the chair. I just moved the chair back and fucking.
Why are you breaking the fucking, like, moving up? Or you rearrange your room when we're on the air. It's insane.
I'm not even moving. I'm just moving back. Like, I'm fucking, like, just leaning back to look at the computer.
Yeah, sounds like the Tin Man in Wizard of Oz before he gets the oil.
Yeah.
The
sensitive ass mic. Jesus. Oh, God, help us.
But, yeah, Jun Kasai, he can wrestle. You know, he isn't just a straight
deathmatch,
you know, let me take all these ridiculous things that nobody else would do, and that's where I'm going to make my name. He can move around the ring. He was fun to watch in that type of match also.
Oh, yeah. You've seen a little bit of him. What do you think about the Black G's?
Black G's, again, I keep bringing it up because I really feel this way. The match was in such a bad spot.
Oh.
Yeah. No, we'll stay off the edge thing. The match was in a bad spot. I think I've actually seen him at JAPW. I believe I've definitely seen him there.
He may have been.
Yeah. You know, he's solid. Again, in what he had to do in that match, you know, he had to hold... He had to get to the build up for the Eddie Pop of the hot tag, and you know, he did what he had to do. He had the arm bars and the chin locks and all that fun stuff in the middle of the ring, waiting for it. You know, this wasn't the match to really judge him because he didn't have a chance to really do what you can see he can do. He has moves. Don't get me wrong. You just couldn't see him in this type of match.
Yeah, I mean, you got to see over time, like, the amount of heel heat that this guy gets is fucking tremendous. He does that heel shit to a fucking T. Well, I mean, pretty much go through the roster of this match. Joker.
Again, this match is tough for me, man. I got to be honest with you. They didn't have a chance to showcase everything.
Hey,
they could do.
But
I really
for what it was.
Yeah, Joker, again, same thing. You could tell he can do work in the ring. You could tell he knows what he's doing. You could tell he can pretty much – he looks like a guy that can pretty much do a lot of different things. Unfortunately, I think the whole match got overshadowed with everything that was happening. I didn't understand that whole Maven Bentley coming there and taking a, you know, slap.
He's supposed to hate Sabian, and that's a – or – G's or whatever. Yeah, the whole thing. But you keep mentioning Jersey All Pro because you've been there a few times. Have you seen Homicide in Jersey All Pro?
Yeah, I've seen him. I don't remember who he wrestled, to be honest with you.
Okay, but
I
what's your thought on Homicide?
Homicide is just, he's a tough guy. You can tell that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He's a hard hitter from what I've seen of him. Again, this match was tough, very tough. Because you,
well, I'm
you
not saying
see
it's
so
bad.
Much.
I'm saying shit. If you've seen it before too, that's why I'm not just continuing to go on this because you know you obviously hated this fucking match and you're
right.
dancing around it. But in the same token, you know, you've seen Homicide before. What's your thoughts on Homicide as a wrestler? I mean, this dude trained Loki. If you've ever seen Loki, he trained Ezekiel
right.
Jackson in the fucking the WWE. He trained so many people out there from Dan Moff to, I mean,
actually, you know what? Dan Moff might be the guy I've seen him wrestle. He might have been wrestling Dan Moff over there in WWE.
He trained that dude and Jay Lethal and so many people in the wrestling business. And dude, he's
another
good
wrestler.
He trained by Manny Fernandez, and yeah, he's hardcore, man. He's actually probably. You're probably gonna see him in TNA again pretty soon. So he'll be back on TV.
Yeah, no, he's another good wrestler in this match. This match had a lot of good wrestlers, very good wrestlers. You know, going on to stay with the match, Eddie Kingston again. I get what Eddie's doing. I get the bowl thing. I get the whole thing with him. He just personally doesn't do it for me. I've seen him a couple times in different places. And I just haven't got all of it yet. I still don't get the whole. He doesn't sell enough for me. Sometimes when he takes something and he bounces right back up on it, it just doesn't work for me personally. He's not
man.
That guy
I have
to
some
me.
Shit to show you that you, dude. Him and Chris Hero. When he actually first left CZW and it was like a loser leaves town, they ended up both leaving because he felt disrespected because of the way fucking Zandig treated him. He was just like, no, fuck that. I'm out. Fuck you. And he fucking left. He's such a real dude. And he's just like, oh, man, that match was so hard-hitting and it was so fucking crazy. That shit, him versus Necro Butcher when he had the title, he backdropped driver fucking Necro on the fucking the wood steps in the middle of the ring. Oh, Jesus.
You know what it is, too, with Eddie? And I've always heard good things about him from a lot of people. And you know what it is? I'm a huge baseball fan. I love Barry Bonds.
Right.
Always loved Barry Bonds. Every time, and I hate the Mets. Every time Barry Bonds came to Shea Stadium, I would go there and watch him hit a home run. And the motherfucker never hit a home run when I was there. So... you know, it's kind of like
the same thing. Run your vision, right? So I'll show you some tapes, man. You love
Do you follow what I'm saying with the reference, though? Every time I see Eddie Kingston, he just doesn't do it for me, and I always hear all these great things, and I guess I'm just that guy.
No
that
one ever showed you
the
shit that when he
me.
Was. Right.
Right.
I hear you.
You know, I guess I miss the home run every time that I see him, and it's not his fault. It's just that happens. You know what I'm saying?
He's awesome. He's an awesome dude. He's fucking so real. It's ridiculous. It's unbelievable that he's actually still in the business because he is so fucking emotional and so fucking hardcore that I'm surprised he hasn't caught a case off of somebody he didn't like because he's that type of guy. He's just like, fuck it. I'm done. Fuck it. It's out. It's over.
And
fuck,
I respect
done.
That. I respect the hell
fuck
out of that.
Fucking
That's how
face.
Everybody should be.
I go home. That's it. I don't need to shit. You know, like, he's one of them dudes. Well, all right, we'll move on from that. Sami Callihan.
Sami Callihan plays that gimmick that he has to a T. He's that, again, he's that punk kid that everybody knows, and he's not a kid, I'm not saying that, but he's that punk guy that everybody knows from either high school or around town that, you know, just has this way about him that it just works. You know, you look at him and you're like... whatever. And he's just a tough son of a bitch. You know, the Sid Vicious type, not the wrestler, the musician type look to him.
Dead?
What happened?
Dead?
He's...
You mean
yeah,
something different.
But he, what's called, you know, like I said, he's getting in there, he's snorting, he's snotting, he's throwing on these hard-ass clotheslines. He's, hitting everything super solid. He's taking everything solid. You know, you see him in there with ADR Fox there, and he wants to get pumped up, and they're just basically smacking the shit out of each other to get going in the beginning of that match, and they just turned it out and just tore the house down with that match.
You know what the other awesome thing is about this guy? Fucking 3 years ago,
Fucking Sammy weighed like fucking 300 pounds.
Really?
Yeah. And he fucking cut his fucking weight to look like what he does now. And fucking... Three to four years ago, yeah. Like, at least 300 pounds. Easy. And
he's not a tall man to be that heavy.
Huh?
He's not that tall to be that heavy.
No, he was fucking huge. He was fucking huge, man. They used to call him the Cannonball. And then fucking... Yeah. He fucking just got on fucking line, and he got on track. He fucking busted his ass. He fucking busted his fucking ass to get to where he's at now. And he calls himself the hardest hitting man on the fucking indies. And he continues to face everybody who else is. You're like, well, that's a bad motherfucker he's facing. He faced Low Key. He got knocked out against Low Key, and tremendous fucking match. Holy shit. And it didn't matter. He bounced back. He hit Low Key what he had. Low Key hit him with. Yeah, it was all good. Yeah, Sammy's that dude. And another guy that's, you know, fucking tremendous, tremendous guy to know because he's a super cool dude. AR Fox.
I won't bring up the name I brought up before.
You call him Edge again. I'm going to kill myself on the air.
AR Fox.
It'd be weird radio. Awkward.
AR Fox, like, you know, when he came out, I knew what to expect to a point. You know, you can look at him, you can see what he's going to be. He's going to be a flyer and everything like that.
Right.
He proved it that night. He went out there in the biggest show of the year and just killed it.
Yeah.
You know, Sammy, you know, I don't know how scripted it was to give him a hand after the match and everything like that, but he deserved it. He put on a great, great show. Both of them did. That match was just a fantastic wrestling match. There was, you know, it didn't need any of the other stuff to make it what it was. It was just a great wrestling match. That match could have been a high match on any card, WWE, TNA, whatever. That could have been put on any pay-per-view anywhere and sold. Did what it did.
Yeah, definitely. Well, fucking the CCW World Heavyweight Champion, Devin Moore. How do you feel about that guy? Do you think he
Devin
should
Moore,
be champion?
Whatever
you're saying. Go ahead.
Yeah. And from watching one match, it's hard to say who should be, shouldn't be champion. I mean, again, all four men in that match put something in there that, you know, helped the match and sold the match, and they all did something crazy, and, you know, he went through the glass on the side there and the whole thing. You know, his look's a little tough for the champion. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't really have a great look. Again, if you want to judge a book from the cover, the cover.
Yeah.
You're right.
No, I said, sure doesn't.
Yeah. No, you know, the guy just doesn't have that look of a champion.
No. And I love the dude. Like, he's a great fucking worker and a great friend. And I fucking talk to him every show. He's one of the first fucking people to come up to me. He's like, fucking yo, guys. Fucking Cage is that dude. And I'm like, fucking hell yeah. I mean, and we drink a couple beers and we chill the fuck out. He's an awesome fucking dude. And he busts out there. He really fucking kills himself out there. He does everything. He's fucking shooting stars off of fucking scaffolds, and he does all sorts of different shit. Fucking yeah, guys. I fucking hit that fucking shooting star. Fucking, I don't understand why they don't fucking like me at this fucking point. Well, as far as a champion, there's just not that presence. Ego was a fucking champion. John Moxley was a champion. Drake was a champion. Devin comes out, and he just gives everybody the I don't give a fuck what you feel look, and he's a face. And then he gets in the fucking ring, and he fucking does his thing and whatever, and everybody just goes, I don't even know how to feel about this. All right, then.
I think that describes me perfectly of what I've seen. I didn't know how to feel about him being the champion. you know, I'm not on the show and calling in here to knock anybody.
I do that.
But if but if you showed me his picture and said, "Hey, come see the show. He's the champion," I'd be like, "Yeah, okay." Saturday night. I'm sorry, man. I just can't make it. You know what I'm saying? Like he's not going to sell you tickets. It's a shame because he's a great, great worker. You can tell that.
Yes.
But just putting him on a poster isn't going to do it for you.
Masada.
You put Masada on a poster, it sells. Anthony.
That's a great fucking statement because that was the guy I've been pitching for. He needs to be world champion for a minute and. That's fucking completely honest. That's completely accurate, you know.
Yeah, so. Masada, you know, you put him on a poster. I'm gonna come and pay the $25 or $20, whatever it is, to sit there and watch it. The same thing with Robert Anthony. He has a look that you know is appealing to what you want to see or what your mind thinks the champion's gonna be.
Dude, wait till you see the fucking. He's supposed to bring it back this week. Fridays with Ego is like an internet show that he does. It's like 15 minutes or something. And he posts it on Facebook and all that stuff. You check that shit out. Within a matter of weeks, you should be adding a whole lot of wrestlers on your goddamn Facebook. Fridays with Ego is just a hilarious thing. I was actually there while he was filming part of that this week. And, Oh, man, just very, very funny. It's so off the cuff and just, you know, shooting shit backstage and calling people faggots and be like, look at this fucking guy. And, you know, the part that I was there for was Eddie Kingston just completely bashing OMG and treating him like a piece of shit and, we were all hanging out and having a great fucking time, and then they decided to film the thing, and it was like, yeah, I'll just throw you on this fucking bus. It was just complete fucking comedy. He does a great fucking show, and I'm sure he'll put that up very soon, so, yeah. That was pretty much the show. I mean, any other, comments or whatever on the show before we move on to some football?
No, I mean, again, I thought it was a fantastic show. I'm happy I went. I did bring two people with me that we all had a great time. They enjoyed the shit out of it. You know, the ride home seemed to take 10 minutes because we bullshitted about the show. You know, we did what we just did here in the car ride home. And, that's how you know you went to a good show. You know?
Absolutely.
You sit there and you watch 4 hours of wrestling or whatever the timing was on the whole thing, and then you drive home, and, you know, it's about an hour ride home for me, a couple minutes more than that. And the whole time you're sitting there talking about it to the point where you drop them, you know, I dropped them off and got out of the car so we can continue the conversation for like another 10, 15 minutes at whatever time, 2:30, almost 3 o'clock in the morning, you know you've seen something amazing. You know, it wasn't like, all right, good night, have a good night, and not say shit on the way home. They fell asleep. That didn't happen. We were all pumped up. We were talking about it and reliving the excitement of CZW wrestling.
Yeah, definitely. We're about to go to the archive. So, you know, good night to everybody who's listening live. And be sure to check out the archive because we're not done yet. We're going to do quite a bit more. And, we stretch it out, man. We stretch it out. We're a little, you know, fucking a little excessive on Yakuza Kick Radio.
Make sure you check out the archives. There might be a quiz next week.
Right. Yay. We'll quiz you motherfuckers. Brent, you better fucking tell me who I picked on the, one of those games. So that was the fucking show. I thought the show was great. Great fucking weekend. Big shout out to fucking... This British cunt just yelled in my ear while I'm trying to talk. I don't really appreciate that. She's like, 30 seconds? Like, go fuck yourself, okay? Listen. Fucking big shout-out to fucking Drake, Sammy, A.R. Fox, Eddie Kingston, fucking Robbie Marino, Ruckus, fucking Side, like all the cats that I was hanging out with in the back that make CZW feel like home. Why does she keep fucking yelling at me, this cunt? Dude. So anyway, it was just tremendous. Rick Clark is a fucking awesome, awesome fucking dude. He hosted fucking the whatever number annual fucking Cage of Death barbecue, and he had the grill out there, and he was fucking doing burgers and dogs and all that shit. And we were just fucking like, I was only, you know, crowded around the fucking joint, sitting in one of these little pop-up chairs to fucking get the heat off the grill. And people were just eating them fucking their food up and shit. It's fucking awesome. Just fucking awesome. And just great people. Great fun. This bitch just screamed 10 seconds. So I hope that's the last time I have to hear from this fucking British cunt. You know, just great people, great fucking times. It doesn't fucking end. Definitely. For all those in the fucking live and don't know how to use archive, we'll check you out next week, motherfucker. Great shit, man. I had a great time. Fucking January. I don't know if you heard us, Stan, but this may be the last fucking show in that arena.
Yeah, no, I heard you. I was listening all night.
What do you think about that? Crazy shit.
Yeah, you were saying that they might be turning it into a concert thing. 1,500 people to a concert. You said they can get some decent acts in there. You know, that place ain't holding. Yeah, but that place is gonna hold about 2,000 because you're not gonna. You know, they're gonna have to build a stage somewhere, and you pack them in a little tighter because there's no chairs and everything like that, and all that fun stuff. No ring, obviously. You can fit a bunch of people inside the ring in the barricade area. But I don't know. Doesn't Philly have enough of those places? Let it stay a wrestling place. Philly has a couple warehouses you can go watch shows at, and you have Tower Theater over there in Upper Darby or wherever. One of the worst places I've ever been to in my life. Upper Darby is terrible.
Why don't you like that place?
Why
don't you like that place?
What, Upper Darby?
Tower Theater
was cool. Tower Theater was definitely cool, man. There were some cool-ass posters and people that played there from the 1960s all the way up, and I'm a big music buff from all the way, and all these different bands played there and everything, and that was all cool. I have no issues with any of that. My experience at Tower Theater was absolutely horrendous. I went to see Artie Lang there on New Year's Eve.
Oh, shit. Awesome.
It should have been a great show. I paid, you know, whatever, $75 a ticket for me and my wife. We got a hotel down there. And the Giants played the Eagles in a fucking playoff game that day. And it was just terrible.
Huh? So what? Did fucking Artie not show up or what happened?
No, Artie showed up, but the Eagle fans decided that we're just going to completely destroy his show and chant EAGLES all fucking night. And
you should have fucking ruled that, dude.
It was fucking horrible. It was fucking
Artie
horrible.
Artie has his fucking issues. You know, he should have fucking took that over and fucking buried them in the fucking sand that the fucking Eagle fans deserve to fucking live in.
Oh, he tried to. It was just too many of them. You know what I mean? They all
playoffs?
Came from the fucking game, and it was just terrible. It was terrible. Actually, you know what it was? They played the whole thing. They were about to play each other next week in the playoffs is what it was. It was a couple years ago, but that was
playoffs?
The Eagles game that,
we'll talk
day
about.
That they had a
playoffs?
Win.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Listen. All right, Dick Vermeil. But the...
Dick
Vermeil? What are you talking
about? Huh?
Tomorrow. What?
Jim Mora, whatever the fuck his name is.
Dick Vermeil.
Jesus Christ.
There's that guy. How about
Jesus Christ. I did it 2 weeks in a row where I named the wrong fucking soundbite.
Fucking Dick.
So anyway, Upper Darby is just a crazy fucking place. You can buy crack fucking at the Exxon gas station across the street from the fucking Tower Theater. It's a shithole town.
That's about right.
I think it is fair to say.
And
that was the president.
And I couldn't get a goddamn cab back to the hotel room that night. It just killed me, man. It killed me. It was like reverse racism. You know how they say a black man can't get a cab while a white man couldn't get a fucking cab in Upper Darby. That's for damn sure.
Where are Fuck Biggie me. And Tupac?
So, it was one hell of an experience. Let's just put it that way.
Definitely.
So, anyway, back to the arena and then maybe not having wrestling in there anymore.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I don't understand why they couldn't do both. I know you said before they're not going to want blood spilled all over the place and glass everywhere, but you know what?
Yeah,
a good concert has blood
tens
spilled
of
everywhere
thousands
and glass.
Of dollars. Like, dude, you spend tens of thousands of dollars to fucking upgrade a joint. You're not going to be like, bring in your panes of glass and just, piss blood out of your forehead.
Yeah,
you know?
But you know what? You're going to get that at concerts anyway. A good concert's going to have all that
not
stuff.
Not like that.
Okay, back.
Cats aren't going to get fucking powerbombed on the fucking stand-up garbage can. It's not going to be quite the same. Yeah, a little rough, but depends on the concert.
I don't know. Well, hopefully they keep wrestling going there because it was nice and easy to get to for me. And I said, hopefully they keep the wrestling going there because it was nice and easy for me to get to. Now,
But either way,
do you think they would go to if they moved out of there? And I'll give you
No idea. They did. I actually mentioned something because I listened to DJ last night after I was on the Real Side of Wrestling. I was on last night because I was randomly requested to be on there. DJ apparently was late, and John Gray just completely he was just like, hey, dude. You want to be on? Go over to the show? This and that? I'm like, okay. And it was just like that CNN shit where they're just like, okay, fast beat. We're going to go to this match. Okay. So we went over those two shows in a half hour. And I didn't know what to do with myself. And, you know, big shout out to John Gray. He runs a phenomenal show and this and that. But, like, I just went with the flow. It's not my flow, but I just went with the flow. I was like, fuck it, man. He's a cool-ass dude. Let's just do it. And I did that. And then DJ was on after that for, like, at least a half hour, 40 minutes. And DJ was saying something about possibly that joint across the street that has a bunch of fucking, like, they have a bunch of, like, Broadway posters in that bitch. Like, they run plays. I don't see that working out. I don't know. Well, I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, they ran the seminar with Tommy Dreamer tonight in the arena, and they got at least January in the arena. But all the schools from Chikara to CZW Wrestling Academy, they all have to move out of the arena. So that's an immediate thing. Like, there's a lot of going on. And when it comes down to it, they're going to have to move shows because – they're looking to do huge renovations. So even if you were living there and they wanted to do those renovations, you would have to get the fuck out of the way for a month or two. Like, it's huge shit. So I don't know, man. I don't know how to feel about that. I don't feel good about it, though. But either way, wrestling goes on, and they will find a way. They will find a place, and hopefully it fucking works for me and you, Stan. You know? But January, as might be the fucking last month of fucking independent wrestling in the CZW arena. Are you attending, Stan?
I'm looking to. I do have to be honest. If the Steelers are playing that Saturday night playoff game, it's going to be a tough sell to get me there.
Playoffs?
Yes, playoffs.
I believe playing the first round. I just, you know, want to put that out there. We're not going to play the first round. We're going to sit home and just watch.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Baltimore don't look like they're going to lose again this year with their schedule. So,
did you watch the game tonight?
No, I did not. And if you could be so kind, I do have it on DVR, and I did take tomorrow off of work so I can sit and watch it after this.
Dude, I didn't know a leg could turn that way. And I don't. Dude, shit.
My phone went off like crazy.
I hope he can come back from that injury. That's all I got to say. I've never seen some shit like that happen on my TV, and I cringed, and I just said, okay, moving on. But, fuck. Well,
yeah,
you know, hopefully your team can continue to the playoffs after that.
Well, they'll continue to the playoffs because the defense will step up. I did. My phone did go nuts. I think I had like 42 text messages within seconds of that happening.
I don't know about
I know Ben broke his ankle or leg or something. I don't know what the extent of it is.
I'm not even talking about that. There was some other really horrific shit that people aren't even talking about. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I just got the Ben stuff.
I didn't think a head could fucking come off a body, and they could go to the fucking sideline and just put a hat on. I didn't think it could happen. No, I don't want to spoil it for you, but Jesus Christ.
Thanks.
Anyway, that's fucking, yeah. You know, people fucking loved it last week. They're like, fucking, yeah, Eric with Japanese names and Stan with football. So, obviously, we do have to get to the NFL. And people love that. I hope you're fucking loaded for bear this week, Stan. Because
always prepared for the NFL.
Okay, well, you set quite a standard for yourself last week, and you know, people. I got awesome fucking response from that. So I got a bunch
Eric,
of people.
There?
Yep.
My fans sound like this, so this is all I heard.
Hell fucking yeah!
That's how my fans sound every time they
That's
like.
That's how everybody
that.
In South Jersey sounds.
Yes.
Hell fucking yeah!
Yeah, that's what it is. So anyway, it's and that's about it. Well, all right. Enough of that. Well, I mean, first game up is obviously the one that's over with that horrendous fucking injury and near death. And I don't even want to talk about it. It sickens my stomach, and I have a show to do. But, you know, you had the Cleveland Browns against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Steelers were favored by a big fucking 13.5 points. And I picked the Steelers because I really thought they were going to come out on top. Until that fucking tragedy on America happened, and I don't know, man. I don't know. What do you think, Eric?
Well, let me see who I picked.
Eric, if you don't get this, if you're not getting it yet, don't give a score of tonight's game, and don't blow my spot here.
No, of course, okay. Of course not. I picked... I picked Pittsburgh.
You better hey, motherfucker. So who you got, Stan?
My condolences
to your team, but, you know.
Oh, Jesus.
I hope he recovers from that horrific coma.
Listen, in all reality, again, it goes back to last week, which I would have lost on anyway because they did beat the living piss out of the Bengals. But 13.5 in a division rivalry on national TV is not something I would touch. If I was doing this to really pick it, I would pick the Cleveland Browns. But since I'm a Steelers fan and fuck the Browns, I'll go with the Steelers here. And I got nothing to say because I am so disheartened by the anticipation of, unfortunately, watching this injury. You know,
I
heard
that...
Yeah, I
hope the dude comes out of a coma. I mean, you're not that far away. Maybe you could visit the guy in the hospital because you're such a big fan. And you know, again, I don't want to spoil it, but...
I can't believe he got a coma from getting his leg ripped off and beating over the head with it in the middle of a football game.
Listen, different dude, different game. You know what I mean? Just what happens. Anyway, next game is the Indianapolis Suck for Luck Colts. Against the Baltimore Ravens. And the Ravens are favored by a big fucking diesel ass, 16.5 points. Fuck. Who you got?
Eric, you want to go first?
Indy, Baltimore.
Those are the two teams. What do you have? You only have to pick one of them. If you say two of them, I don't know where you're going. Go ahead.
Indianapolis.
Oh, Indy?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I picked New England last week, and they had a big-ass point spread, and
they lost.
Yes.
Okay. So, okay. What do you got, Sam?
All right, well, here we go. First of all, Eric, you answered that question like Sandusky answered his, where you had to repeat it like six times because you knew you were fucking lying the whole time. I don't know what you were lying about because there was only two teams in this whole
thing. I'm just going to tell you right now, you forced me into a segue in between this game and the next game, but go ahead, Sam.
Okay. You picked New England last week, and I explained that, and Jay also explained that that's just way too many fucking points, the whole thing like that. Again, you got to go with Indianapolis here because Baltimore is not a team that is going to go out there and just dominate and put up 40 points. This is going to be a game where you expect it to be the spread 16 because people are going to expect it to be a blowout. But you know what? It's not going to be because Baltimore's offense is not that great. And Indianapolis doesn't have the injuries on the defense. I do got to say I'm amazed that one person in the NFL changes a team by 10 wins. That is just, I never thought that could happen. One individual changes 10 wins on a football team.
Whoever fucking questioned that the fucking Colts were Peyton Manning and only Peyton Manning. How many times did they say fucking Peyton Manning versus such and such?
Oh, absolutely, but 10 wins? 10 wins. I mean, that's incredible.
Yes.
That's incredible. I mean, that man should have been making a hell of a lot more money and getting a lot more Sony TV ads and playing fucking ping pong
Jesus
with everybody
Manning
from the president.
Is making plenty of money.
Oh, yeah, but he should have got double that because 10 wins in the NFL. 10 wins.
Well,
that's incredible.
Luck, which is a new quarterback, which is really weird. Really weird.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, and now you hear all this stuff, and I brought it up last week, and then I'm listening to some talk radio shows, and now all of a sudden – because everybody listens to Yakuza Kick Radio. Everybody's talking about Peyton Manning going to the 49ers.
Fuck. How about you shoot me in the mouth? That would be awesome.
Why, you wouldn't want Peyton Manning?
I mean, I'm all for it. I'm all for it, but I think we would spend far too much money for that to happen for maybe 2 years of fucking play, 3 years of play.
Yeah, you got about 2-3 good years left if he comes back healthy. I mean, he did have neck fusion surgery, which
you don't know how
terrible.
He's going to come out of that. That's my main thing. Is you allow
like
him to get that fucking you allow him to get that fucking $25 million fucking bonus next year, then you better fucking hope he comes back like the old fucking Peyton, because otherwise I don't really fucking know. Seems like a bad fucking deal. You know? You got the fucking biggest college prospect in your fucking lap, and it's really hard to say goodbye to fucking yesterday, such as, the Boys to Men had fucking put out there. However, I don't know. At this point, it's a really hard decision, but if I were to make this decision, I would probably go with fucking Andrew Luck. And I don't fucking know the dude from shit, because I don't even watch college football. However, that's a lot of fucking money, and again, you only got fucking a couple of good years left out of fucking Peyton, who never fucking clinched the fucking deal, and it honestly wasn't his fault. Like, they need to draft a whole lot of other shit other than a quarterback, because they had one of the best fucking quarterbacks in the league for a long fucking time, and they couldn't get the fucking deal done, so it wasn't fucking Peyton. I mean, let's get real. Fucking Peyton Manning was not the reason why the fucking Colts weren't the best fucking team out there. Like, I don't know.
I would try to trade that draft pick for some Ricky Williams type 4 picks in the fucking next 10 years type thing. Yeah, not Ricky Williams. No. I'm saying, like, just get as many draft picks as possible to rebuild that team and look to get a quarterback later on in a year or two after Peyton Manning and see what happens with him. That's what I would do with it. Here's the thing with the quarterback. There was a guy that came out around the same time as – that's a lot of money. But there's a guy that came out around the same time as that Peyton Manning character. And he was just like Andrew Luck, a sure prospect.
Ryan Leaf.
Greatest thing ever. Ryan Leaf came out the same way Andrew Luck is. Same exact way. And,
yeah.
And look
how's
what happened.
How's he doing?
There. Yeah, how'd that work out? He was addicted to friggin' pain medication, and now he wrote
how's
a book.
How's that guy doing?
So, I mean, you never know what you're going to get. There is no sure shot quarterback that ever comes out of college. The college game is different. The college game is definitely a different ball game.
Just a ball game that I don't watch.
Yeah. You know, and Jay, you have said it.
How I should.
No, listen, I love college football, and you did say, you know, there's only 2, 3, 4, 5 players coming out that are going to make the NFL on each team.
Right.
And that's true. And that does make quarterbacks a lot better. Look, when Andrew Luck's thrown for 370 yards against San Diego State University, it isn't exactly the Baltimore Ravens.
Look out.
Yeah, it isn't exactly the Baltimore Ravens, you know what I'm saying? And Andrew Luck has not had the greatest games against the best teams here. So, you know, nobody's a sure thing. I again, would trade that to whoever wants it and needs a quarterback like the 49ers, and go from there. Oh, how'd that first round pick take?
Hey, man. We clinched the fucking playoffs, man.
That's
I'm going to go with, like, Drake right now. Hey, man. Clinched the playoffs, man.
Anyway, to get back to the original question, I'm going with Indianapolis here.
Yeah, I saw that. Where the fuck did my pen go? I think okay.
What was my record last week and all that good stuff?
Oh, fucking me and you both had 7 wins, and Eric had a big brolic fucking 10 wins.
Wow, look at you, Eric.
Tremendous, right? It's crazy because the league that we're in, he's such a jobber.
He's such a jobber.
I'm fucking like tied for first place, and he's like fucking, you got to scroll down. You're like, oh, there he goes. Look at him. He's like 10 wins behind with fucking a couple weeks left in the season. That's cool. Anyway, next up is the Atlanta Falcons against the Carolina Panthers. And fucking Atlanta's favored by 2.5 away. And who do you got, Eric?
Atlanta.
Yeah, you do. I got Atlanta as well. Who do you got, Stan?
I got burned by Atlanta last week because I really didn't understand how Houston was favored and everything like that, and that all worked out pretty well for him. I'm going to go with Atlanta one more time here.
Matt Ryan. Like, you don't have any cute references about fucking food and bitches. Last week you were like, yeah, the broads are fat in Atlanta. So,
oh,
I'm going to fucking go with Carolina in my mind.
Eric didn't have a gimmick last week, so this week I'm going gimmickless. But if you want me to start playing word association, I absolutely can again.
Oh, it's fucking awesome. We fucking right. Loved it. My audience fucking loved it. They were just like, fucking Stan in football and fucking Eric in Japanese names. All day, let's go. I'm like, that's cool. I like having you on one way or another, but I definitely got over. Tremendous radio. Next up, we got Houston taking on Cincinnati. And Cincinnati's favored by 2.5 points. And I got Cincinnati, man. Houston is too banged up. Like, they're too banged up at this point. They're a viable team, this and that. Not viable for the fucking playoffs, but they're, you know, they got a lot of talent there, but a lot of them are banged up. And I got to go with Cincinnati with Dalton. Is one of
the only good ginger quarterback to ever play in the NFL. Well, here you go with you and Dan Chocodino again. You're going to take a team that is from Cincinnati, which is the Queen City. I don't know
Sammy
what's going
Callahan
on.
And Jake Chris and all that. Ohio's for killers.
Yeah, well, that's Ohio, but Cincinnati is still the Queen City. So, listen, I don't know what all this gay stuff you're coming out with. It's cool. Hey, you know, it happens.
Sammy Callahan's got a hell of a clothesline.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely does. The Bengals.
That's the Cincy fan. Settle down.
The Bungles haven't won a game in a couple weeks here. They don't look like they're going to be winning a game anytime soon. Andre Johnson is probable, which means he's probably going to score a couple touchdowns. Houston is hurt, but they're still winning. And Atlanta is better than Cincinnati. And Cincinnati,
it's Houston.
Right, I know. Atlanta is better than Cincinnati, and Houston went down, beat up on Atlanta without any quarterback, and they're going to do it again this week, and the running game is just going to run all over the Bungles.
So you're going Houston, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Going Cincinnati.
Okay. Good luck, Eric. Follow the man that's leading the fucking league. That's right. Anyway, next up we got the Minnesota, I don't know what the fuck is going on, Vikings, and the Detroit, we crushed their spirit, Lions. You know, and Detroit is favored by 7.5 points. That's silly. dude, I fucking pick Minnesota all fucking day long. AP has been beasting out. They've actually been doing fucking very fucking well with Tavares Jackson. Like, when they had fucking, who was their fucking starter?
Christian Ponder?
No, like last year. Was it McNabb?
No, that was earlier this year.
Last year, their starter was, fucking Favre. When Favre was there. I was starting motherfucking Tavares Jackson on fucking Madden every fucking week. And I was running fucking options and fucking breaking out for first downs, and niggas couldn't hang with me. And they was like, why the fuck are you just bench Brett Favre right off the dick? Like, fuck Brett Favre. That's why. Holla. Fucking, yeah, man. And I did that shit, and yeah, shit. I mean, they're doing okay. Obviously, are again not viable for the fucking playoffs. But Minnesota's actually been like a don't sleep on us, we're still making moves type team right now. And Detroit has been a fucking we fucking lost our fucking heart team, and they're favored by 7.5 points after we fucking took their heart and shit on it. Fuck you. So I go with Minnesota. Who y'all got?
Eric.
I got Detroit.
You got Detroit. That's cool. You got.
All right, well, I've been sitting back and thinking about the whole Detroit thug thing, and I touched on it last week, and you got Ndamukong Suh kicking people, and you got Brandon Pettigrew, basically mugging people in a game last week. He almost got tossed out of the game, and I think it all again stems to how bad Detroit truly sucks as a city. Detroit just completely and totally blows. There's nothing good about Detroit. Nothing. So these players are like, shit, when I leave the football field, I got to walk to my car, and I'm most likely going to get carjacked because they used to make cars here, and now they make nothing. And I got to show how tough I am on the football field so nobody fucks with me out in the parking lot. They don't have you said they don't have any heart. Unfortunately for you, Jay, this week Detroit is going to come out and show their heart.
Oh, yeah? It's not unfortunate definitely. For me. They're not going to get anywhere near where the fuck we're going. they're lucky to make the fucking playoffs. So.
Well, that's what it is. They're in a fight for their playoff lives here, and I think
right,
that
Detroit's going to win by more than 7.5 points.
Yeah, I do think Detroit's going to actually blow out Minnesota this week. Megatron's going to go off, and they're going to put up 45 on them. And I don't think Minnesota can come anywhere close to keeping that number offensively.
That's a sad turn of events. So apparently you lose that game. That's fine. next up is the Tampa Bay Bucks stand, second option. And Jacksonville Jaguars with an X on the abbreviation for teenage girls,
And Tampa Bay is actually favored by a half a point, so it's more or less a win game. And I got Tampa Bay. I got Stan's second team on that one.
Well, here we go with the seconds again. And last week I explained about the second girl and all that stuff. But here's the thing. You think back when you had your first time you fucked, right? And, you know, hey, it felt great and everything like that. But you were, like, so fucking nervous and you were all fucked up a little bit and you didn't get – but that second time, man, you were all in it and you knew what you were doing, or you, at least you thought you were, and fucking – that time was a little bit longer. Everything else worked all fucking good and you knew exactly what to do. And, Eric, I'm sure you still can't do it, but by that point I was able to have a problem with one hand.
That's fucked up.
You know, by that time, I was able to reach back there and then snap the bro with one hand. Eric, you can't do that yet, can you? So
no,
anyway, back onto the second.
Oh, wait, what? What? Huh? What happened?
I cut
what? I don't know, dude. I'm just trying to put it all together. You know what I mean? Make shit work. where did the conversation go? Like, what happened? Why did everybody get fucking silent when people called?
Eric started to answer. I was just trying to see if he was able to do it. You know, that takes a little bit of skill, a little bit of talent, and a little bit of practice. So going back on to the second thing, yes, Tampa Bay is my second team. Yes, Tampa Bay is going to beat up on that 14-year-old girl named Jacksonville JAX. Yeah, right?
What? No, we're good.
Okay. And Tampa Bay is going to pull out the win here in the Battle of Florida.
Oh. Such a long-winded, disrespectful rant. And Stan's got Tampa Bay. Big surprise. Eric!
I got Tampa Bay.
All right. Okay, good. I'm glad you're still vocal at this point.
Why was that disrespectful?
You know, Stan puts fucking Eric in the corner, like they refused to be. And, you know, just, I don't know. What can you do? I didn't fucking ask for that. Jesus Christ. Fucking, next up we got Eric's Philadelphia Eagles versus the Miami Dolphins. And the Dolphins are fucking favored by 2.5 points because the Dream Team apparently ain't getting it done. So, but anyway, I got the Eagles.
I got the Eagles.
That's all you got? You ain't got it. Yo, my boys are going to fucking show up. We're going to fucking Vince Young, fucking Mike Vick. I don't give a fuck. We'll kill a puppy. We'll show up.
I don't think so.
We'll put the motherfucking ball in the fucking end zone. I don't give a fuck who it is. We'll kill your dog. and we'll win the fucking game. That's what it is. Eagles. Fucking, E-A-G-L-E-S. You know what I mean? That's how you should come off. You know what I mean? You should be like, fuck that. Fuck. Y'all fucking fly, Eagles. Fly the whole shit.
I don't think so.
You know what I mean? But no. You just like, fuck, I got the Eagles.
And road to victory.
Cry, Eagles. I am sorry.
So both of you took the Eagles, huh?
All the time. What?
Both of you took the Eagles, huh?
Yeah.
All right. The Dream Team thing, that thing's never going to die, Eric. The Dream Team. The Dream Team, I hate to tell you, was like Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and Jordan and Karl Malone and Stockton. They played in the 92 Olympics, and they beat the living piss out of them.
Oh, yeah. The fucking Jazz are quite a dream fucking team.
No, you're talking about the Olympic team. Yes, okay. The Olympic team.
I was just saying, guys.
Chris Mullin was there, Christian Laettner. That was the Dream Team. And they beat teams by like 40, 50, 60 points. The Eagles got lucky against the Giants and basically can't all they do is beat themselves. Miami is playing well for some God knows.
Playing well, but they're by 2.5 points. Yeah, I don't fucking know about all that.
They beat them by a field goal. They had that whole suck for luck thing, and then they decided that they weren't going to suck for luck anymore, and they were going to go on this little winning streak.
They're just going to suck for sake of sucking.
So I got Miami this week.
Oh, that's nice. Well, anyway, next up we got the Kansas City Chiefs against the New York Jets in Jersey. And the Jets are favored by 8.5 points for whatever ridiculous fucking reason that is with their overrated quarterback. And I'm going to go with Kansas City because fuck those bitches. Yeah.
If you were an offensive lineman or defensive lineman, how would you feel about your quarterback, one, just being as pretty as Mark Sanchez is and doing all these magazines and
pretty? I don't even understand where this whole pretty this and that comes from. He looks like a fucking – he looks like 10 people I see outside of Home Depot that are fucking looking to work on your yard. Like, I really don't see where this guy is fucking, like – GQ fucking material. I don't understand that. That's cool. Whatever the fucking case is, if you call him that, that's fine. But like, he really looks like he's looking for a yub. And I don't.
He plays like a day laborer, also.
Yeah. Fuck it, man. Overrated, but.
Yeah, he definitely is overrated. I mean, when you got a fucking 65-year-old drunk telling you how to get up under center and fucking take a snap without fumbling every friggin' week, you know something's wrong. I mean, the guy just wants to go out there and get – Namath just wants to go there, go to the games, get drunk, hit on young women, and now he's got to go out there and fucking get his hands under some guy's ass to show Sanchez on how to take a fucking snap. It's ridiculous. The Jets are – by far favored by too many points here, and I don't think they're pulling it out. Eric?
Yeah, definitely KC. KC across the fucking board. Fuck you, Jets, you scumbag green motherfuckers. Anyway, now he's me green. Next up we got...
Do you think Rex Ryan would be a... Hold on, do you think Rex Ryan would be a good wrestling manager?
Maybe. Very, very well, maybe, because he just hypes shit that he knows this isn't going to happen, but it's a work. And, like, the Jets being
like,
fucking Super Bowl champions
like,
is a work.
He sounds
right.
like a masked
always...
maniac.
The what?
A masked maniac, huh?
Like the masked maniac. He hypes shit up that never fucking happens.
Right, right. Yeah, he's the type of guy that's just going to continue to push shit. Like, it's going to – he's the best in the world, but he knows it's the work, and he's going to job fucking 4 out of 6 months. And, I work.
I definitely think he would work as that guy that manages all the guys that get to the championship match and always fucking lose, you know?
Yeah.
And
just
keep promoting that the next guy is the greatest thing going, and he's going to be the world champ, and he's going to take down this guy and that guy, and, you know.
I think Jets fans are adorable. They're such a fucking awesome fucking spectacle to watch every fucking single year. You look at them and they're just like, fucking yeah, it's our year. Fucking, no. I mean, fucking we got this many yards last week and then next week and this is going to happen and it fucking happened through the season. They're like, fuck, shit, man. They're either like that or the whole season goes fucking, oh, fucking yeah, fucking this is our year. Fucking playoffs lose first fucking round. They're like, you know what? I mean, it's just like, you know, the guy isn't ready. We need to get rid of that guy. And just don't even talk to me about it.
No, it's not even the whole season. That happens during their games. They start out on the opening kickoff with that J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 real fucking loud. Like, it's echoing through the stadium. And usually by the end of a home game, it's like two fucking guys and a drunk broad that wants to be a Chinese finger trap between the two of them, fucking yelling it on the TV, and you barely hear it.
Oh, it's terrible. Poor guys. Anyway, we got the New Orleans Saints up against the Tennessee Titans. And New Orleans is favored by 3.5. And I got New Orleans. I don't see why the fucking Tennessee Titans belong in that. Go ahead.
I think this is a case where, again, you have a fucking...
You got the Beads versus the Tennessee Rednecks. And then, you know, when the Bees were pulling out of the ass with Quagmire on the fucking Family Guy last week, that was fucking awesome. And then, you know, I would go with New Orleans. Who you got?
You're good at this, huh? So, you do have the Bees. You have New Orleans. You have fucking Voodoo and all that shit. And then you got fucking, I don't know,
Hank Williams Jr. There's not much of a comparison again. Don't know why Tennessee, huh?
That's terrible. Choke fucking Hank Williams with the fucking beads.
I don't understand why Tennessee's getting so many, so much, you know, good numbers here with 3.5. I just don't understand why they think this game's going to be even close. New Orleans outclasses them by far, and you have to go with the Saints here. And that should be an easy win.
You do. Other than Eric, what do you got?
Saints.
Yeah, you do. It's all good. Next up, we got the New England fucking Patriots. We got Tom Brady in them against the Washington Redskins. And fucking New England is favored by 7.5. You know, I always think that Tom Brady and them are going to be crushing. And I, you know, it's hard to call because they're on and off this year. And you know, first off, we're approaching my guys. And people keep fucking putting out, Alex Smith ain't no fucking Tom Brady. Well, you know, Tom Brady's through a group of fucking picks this year, and the fucking New England defense is not that fucking good. And fucking the Packers, shit. Dude, you squeak out a victory against the fucking Giants that they post in the fucking paper that you should have lost because you see the fucking knee down in the end zone. Let's get off that fucking horse. Like settle down. As long as you're in the playoffs. Huh?
What does this have to do with the Redskins?
No, I started talking about New England and one of those
things
that we can't touch. So, you know, as soon as you get in the playoffs, it's anybody's game. We'll go from there. Anyway, I'm still going with New England, favored by 7.5. Talking all that shit about them. Fuck the world. And, what do you motherfuckers got?
Oh, after all that negativity about New England, I do have to say they got like 5'7" white guys running all over the fucking field, and then like 2 6'4" Spanish dudes. Oh, one Spanish and one fucking Polak, and that's their whole offense. Just throwing the ball around.
Because you're a Polak.
I'm allowed to say Polak. But they just throw the ball all over.
I got taught that by a Puerto Rican this weekend that he's allowed to say nigger. And you know, like, he's just like, he's like, yeah, such as those niggers. And I'm like, what, dude? And he's like, I'm Puerto Rican, it's okay. And I'm like, that's weird.
I never figured out how any of that worked.
I don't get that. No. I'm very against that. But go ahead.
So anyway, they got a bunch of like white receivers running around, which is just interesting, to say the least. And Washington just plain out sucks. They're just a terrible, terrible team.
I got
New England.
Yes, I do too.
New England.
Oh, you're so cut and dry. You're just like fucking straight to the like.
You guys say everything
I got some motherfuckers.
I said, you guys say everything. It's like, I'm not going to repeat.
We say everything. There's nothing left. We say everything in the universe about that game. I'm just like, them motherfuckers is shit. Fuck that nigga. This motherfucker, that guy is better than that guy. And you're like, well, you covered it. I'm fucking super ignorant. And you're like, well, I guess you got it. Whatever. It's all good. Next up, we have them guys, the
San Francisco
49ers up against the Arizona Cardinals. Hey, we already clinched the playoffs, in case y'all motherfuckers didn't know. And we're favored by 3.5 in the home of Arizona. And who do you think I picked other than
San Francisco?
So what are y'all feeling?
I got Sam Chifka. Who's the backup quarterback?
Who's what?
Who's the backup?
Who gives a fuck about that?
Who's the backup?
Alex Smith is the backup quarterback. What are you talking about?
You're
predicting Alex Smith is getting hurt? Like you're like fucking Kreskin. You're gonna predict
they're gonna bench him because he's so awesome.
To keep him, you know,
Fucking Pat Willis, they'll rush fucking Frank Gore. They ain't resting no motherfucking Alex Smith. That bitch is gonna work the fucking the last week. Fuck that guy. Who we got?
Oh shit. What the hell is going on?
I have no idea.
San Francisco.
Well, that's awkward. Okay.
Now that they're getting robbed.
No, I just muted that because I can't deal with it, and it's on my show, and it's fucking terrible. Fuck, I gotta get a phone! I'm on the air! Oh, fuck you! I'll fucking go, Dad! Go! Anyway, what you got?
I got nothing here. San Francisco.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna unmute this and try to get a fucking call on this fucking... Oh, he actually... Nah, his phone is dead. He's done. Okay. Well, we'll check back with him in the future. Next up, we have the Chicago Bears taking on the Denver Tebows. And the Tebows are favored by 3.5 points. And I got fucking Chicago because I hate that Bible banging cunt. And I hope he dies by the hands of Brian Urlacher. But, what do you got?
Well, see, I haven't went on any type of gimmick this week, and I actually want to talk intelligent football, as you noticed. This is an intriguing matchup, and next week I'll come with some prepared stuff for you to make you laugh a little bit. But this is an intriguing matchup between the Broncos and the Bears. But what
you know what made me laugh quite a bit was what just happened on my fucking radio show. Like, go ahead.
That was pretty crazy.
that's awesome. That marks a change. Go ahead.
But this is going to be really interesting to see Urlacher versus Tebow, and that's really what you're going to be watching if you watch this game, to see Tebow try to run and be spied by Urlacher the entire game, who is probably as fast as Tebow and the same size. It really is just a great matchup to watch. And I really think the guy walks on water. And I got Denver because I don't think Tebow's allowed to lose during Lent. I don't know.
Oh, God help us. God help the Jesus and baby Jesus.
Hey, before I brought up Sandusky and you said you were going to segue and then you didn't, what was that all about?
Oh, fuck this cocksucker. Seriously, yo, the fucking interviews that this motherfucker put out to the fucking public and actually we only have 10 minutes left, so I really can't even get into this, but dude, he needs to be shot in the side of his head so his skull fucking is exposed, and then someone needs to punch him in his brain until he dies. His exposed brain until he dies. Next game up is the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders against the undefeated Green Bay Packers. And the Packers are favored by 11.5 points. I got the Packers. Who you got?
I think it's too many points, and I think the Packers are going to start taking their foot off the throttle a little bit here. I don't think they're going to give it up like the Colts did. I think that Oakland will keep this game close, closer than 11.5 points or whatnot. And I do got Oakland here. I think they'll keep the ball in the running game, keep the ball away from Aaron Rodgers a little bit, and just keep the game close, but never really have a shot to win.
Right. Well, I don't. So, yeah, I got Green Bay. Buffalo versus San Diego. And Buffalo is favored by 5.5 points away, and I still got San Diego. I don't know why. I don't know how. Just got them.
This is another game that who gives a fuck that these two teams are even in the NFL this year?
Nobody. Just like who's got it better than us? Nobody. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just, who cares? San Diego. It doesn't matter. Flip a coin. Fuck it. San Diego.
Okay.
I still don't know what either one of these fucking people, that these logos are. You got a buffalo on your helmet because you're the town of Buffalo, but yet you're the Bills.
Buffalo.
And
there's none of them living in your state. It's cool.
Yeah. And what the fuck is a Bill? I'm a Buffalo Bill. Oh, okay, good job. The fuck?
You'd be a upstate New Yorker Buffalo, and then you'd be like, I know what a Buffalo is, and
yeah, it just doesn't make sense. This is the battle of the fucking stupid logos, and let's throw the Cleveland Browns in there for a fucking triple threat match, and then you got everything fucking going in there because that logo makes no fucking sense either.
Absolutely. You have the big fucking square down, showdown, square down. Yeah, well, of course it's a square down. Why not? Showdown of the New York Football Giants against the Dallas Cowboys, and the Cowboys are favored by 3.5 at home. Big fucking showdown always. I'm going with Dallas. I fucking think the Giants are buried this year, and so is Dallas. Honestly, they'll be buried first round of the fucking playoffs, but yeah.
Well, it's amazing
I'm going with
to
Dallas.
Me. It's amazing to me that I sit here up here and I get to listen to this banter back and forth all week at work, because I got a lot of Cowboy fans and a lot of Giant fans. And the Giant
I'm
fans
so
are talking shit. Like, yeah, it's horrible.
The
Giant fans are talking shit like they just went and won 4 out of 5 games and not lost 4 out of 5 games. It's amazing to me the balls on the Giant fans. Giant fans are just the most pathetic fans in all of sports. They're worse than Red Sox fans. They're worse than Eagle fans. They're just talking shit like their team is good. Their team's garbage. If they lose this week, basically they're done with the playoffs. I don't care what all of them keep saying. And I think they're losing. I think Dallas is going to go in there and fucking stomp a Texas side mud hole in their ass and fucking just put them to bed.
So Dallas is winning, you're saying?
Yes.
Dallas. So you got Dallas. Okay. Last game of the week, we have the St. Louis Rams against the Seattle Seahawks. Two teams that won't come anywhere near fucking winning that division. However, the Seahawks are favored by 6.5 fucking points. And I got the Seahawks just because St. Louis is that bad. And Seattle will actually win by a touchdown.
You know what's interesting with these two teams, and you just did it, and I thought I was the only person. Yeah, actually nothing really interesting about these two teams. But whenever I want to talk about St. Louis, I say Seattle. And whenever I want to talk about Seattle, I talk about St. Louis. You just seem to do it. Maybe it's just something that happens because neither team matters. Okay, Seattle's going to win, and they're going to win by 8 points. Doesn't matter. Another game that doesn't matter. The NFL has a lot of games that don't matter.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, man. So, that's the NFL, man.
That's the Monday night game?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Christ.
You know what I fucking mean? This is what happens in this fucking world. What do you think about fucking Chris Paul going to the fucking Lakers? Holy shit.
Great. Basketball and me are not best friends anymore. I think that
Chris Paul went to the Lakers. They got rid of Paul Gasol with his flopping ass and fucking Lamar Odom with his Kardashian fucking ass. And yeah, I mean, they moved on, whatever the case is, and they got fucking Chris Paul and Kobe on the fucking same team. That's bad news, man.
Who's the big man though?
Well, I mean, they're Bynum. They still have Bynum, but.
Right.
Fuck. Gasol was doing nothing but falling on the floor and hoping for a call. And fucking.
Oh, well,
he's
European.
Good.
They do shit like that.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really nice. But, yeah. He didn't win a title since the biggest big man. Fucking. Well, you know, I mean, they did the thing without Shaq, but still. I mean, Shaq was the shit. That's what he did. But, hell, fucking Paul Gasol. Shut the fuck up. Get the fuck
guy. But now, I mean, Chris Paul and Kobe is going to be a fucking dominant fucking combination. That's an issue right there. But anyway, yeah, man. That's pretty much all I got on the fucking night. Jesus Christ, I've done fucking 9 till fucking, it's almost 1 o'clock in the fucking morning. I'm fucking retarded. Almost 4 hours. So, yeah, Stan, thanks for coming on, dog. Fucking any fucking time, definitely. Yo, I never ever hear your mother yelling at you in the background.
Yeah, no, you won't get that too much. Although my phone did crap out on us, and I did feel a little erky on that.
I give you credit for that, though. I never hear, I'm on the air, Mom.
Hey, another good time. I will have more better prepared stuff for the NFL next week.
Awesome, dude. It
was a good show.
We'll do
again.
It live.
What did you say?
We'll do it live. Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Another good show, another bunch of fun. Have a good night, man. You signing this shit off and talk to you later.
Absolutely, man. I'm definitely gonna wrap this shit up and yeah, thank you, Sam, man. You're a great fucking dude and love to have you on. So we'll see you next week for sure.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, peace, Sam.
Bye.
So yeah, that was my dude Stan, and you know, previously Eric and all this, and listen, this is the point of the show where we only got a couple minutes left, and I definitely want to give my shout-outs. I was on the Real Side of Wrestling last night with John Gray. Big fucking shout-out to that dude. Go check out his fucking his channel and all that stuff, and check that out. He did a huge tribute to JC and awesome stuff, man. He's putting shit just fire out there, and I was really happy to be on that show, you know, a little half hour, whatever the case was. Check out my dudes at the Wrestling Soup, my dude Anthony Missionary Thomas and Joey Numbers, phenomenally funny dudes, and just, I'm all about these guys. It's what it is, man. It's what entertains me. If I entertain you, well, that entertains me. I only can't entertain myself mildly. At best. So, yeah, man. Check the motherfuckers out if you want to hear some other shit that's funnier than I am. Carl Weiser, man. This dude fucking threw me 4 tickets to the fucking aquarium for my family and shit. So much fucking respect to that dude. I got to shout him out. Because we're going to go to the aquarium on the fucking ticket of fucking Carl Weiser, man. That dude fucking hit me up. So we're going to go to that shit, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after. Super hyped for it. Very excited. I will post pictures. Check that dude out. And then, yeah, again, fucking Drake, Sammy, AR Fox, Eddie Kingston, motherfucking Robbie, Claude, Side, fucking OMG, fucking Georgie Boy, Rick Clark, fucking everybody out there that made this fucking CZW shit a family come cage of death that made me feel like I was fucking at home chilling the fuck out and made that shit special for the people within that circle. Much fucking love. Big fucking shout out, and that's probably about all I got. Next fucking Thursday, we got Rory Gulak. We're gonna do this fucking thing right, and you motherfuckers ain't trying to hear him? Well, then you shout at me and tell me why, and I'll tell him why. And that's what it is, man. Let's do this shit right. Let's do this shit up. Check me out next Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's what it is. You know what I mean? So, check us the fuck out next week. I don't give a fuck. Holla.
Peace. To make you humble.
Let's do it.
Make him humble. Make you humble. Make him humble. And then fuck his ass.
But you go to the back and you tell your boss
that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
And we're taking over.
And we're taking over.
And we're taking over.
And we're taking over.